Remember a few years ago, the New York Times said Agenda 21 doesn't exist. Agenda 2030 doesn't exist. So Trudeau goes out in a governmental announcement and says, we're implementing Agenda 2030. Here it is.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 agenda for sustainable development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started as soon as we can.
At the end, what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
All these different UN combines and agreements don't exist. Anybody could go look them up and find out they do exist.
In the year 2015, the world agreed on the ambitious, inclusive, and universal Sustainable Development Goals, making a commitment to leave no one behind.
It is so decided.
Just a few months later, we are already seeing those promises transform into first concrete steps for action. On 21st of April, presidents, prime ministers, and other high-level representatives from around the world gathered at the UN headquarters in New York for a high-level debate on achieving the SDGs now that the goals and targets have been set.
We have no time to waste.
Constantly monitored by facial recognition cameras that are able to instantly put a face to a name. Now the Chinese are also ranked, given a mark out of a possible 950 points. A score in the 700s is considered good. Around the 500 mark is not.
It forces us to be well-behaved.
And then there's Joanne. She's an information collector, a paid enforcer, who walks around and writes down deeds about her neighbors. Like the man who carried a drunk person home. Things like this are good deeds, she said. But the farmer overheard swearing and being rude? Yeah, bad deed. Her quota is 10 a month.
In countries such as India, there's little choice. People there must download a state-backed tracing app if they want to travel.
From January, every citizen of England and Wales will have a new social credit score. Government and private companies may use your social credit score to make decisions about you.
Search for your name online and a top hit may lead you to this page, mylife.com, a site that says it gathers data from public sources to create biographical reports. It may include everything from your address to criminal history. That data then used to generate a reputation score.
A bad reputation can hurt you personally and professionally.
Australians forced to submit 100 points of identification like their driver's license or passport when using social media accounts like Facebook and Twitter. Now police would have access to those social media accounts, and it's all part of a crackdown on online abuse. Now users could be liable for defamation suits or even criminal prosecution, and it's all part of a plan hoping to deter people from engaging in bad behaviour. Now the recommendations were handed down by a federal parliamentary inquiry.
And then if you're bad, they're just going to ban you from the internet. And that's the holy grail of control. And it also says the police will have access to everyone's stuff without a warrant, live time, and that they'll be able to, quote, impersonate you, to, quote, infiltrate anti-vax groups and disrupt them.
It's not going to be safe for people who are not vaccinated to be roaming around the place spreading the virus. That's what they'll be doing. So there's every reason to get vaccinated.
Australia could force citizens to report their location on demand via government tracking app. And Apple are the same company behind the scenes. They're all run by the NSA, CIA, and globalist banks, Rothschild, Rockefeller money. They are competing only on the surface to be the world ID. They made an agreement a year and a half ago, secretly, but it leaked, to have a secret app embedded on all phones that they jointly control together.
You're watching the American Journal with Harrison Smith. Alex Jones Show. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C plus. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at the alexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars is the tip of the spear, and you're listening to Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I am your host today. I will be joined at the bottom of the hour by the great Harrison Smith, and then again at the top of the hour by the esteemed Alex Jones. What an honor and a pleasure it is to be with you today on this historic moment. This historic occasion where Donald Trump has been inaugurated as the President of the United States, the 47th President of the United States, and how pleased I was, and I think the rest of America was, to see Joe Biden get on that helicopter with his bitter estranged wife and just fly away. It was like watching corruption fly away, or a demon itself being exorcised from the body that is the United States government. And his corruption just extended all the way up through the last minutes of his presidency, pardoning his entire family, pardoning Dr. Fauci. But before we get into the news, analyze some of Trump's comments today, as well as the executive orders that are anticipated to be signed by the end of the day, I do want to pitch to you an audio message from the great Owen Schroyer, where he was in Washington, D.C. today for the inauguration, and he wanted to send a message to his audience. So let's hear from Owen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer here reporting, just exiting the swamp. Was going to be going to the historical inauguration today, but due to inclement weather, had to leave D.C. early to avoid cancellations that were coming up for flights. But nonetheless, spent the weekend in D.C., and I have nothing but good news to report to you. I was invited to a couple of galas and balls where I was a guest speaker, shook a bunch of hands, met a bunch of great people, and the way that we think, the way that you think, this audience thinks, the things that Alex has been reporting on for years, the foundation of InfoWars is now officially mainstream. People understand the issues better than they ever have. And quite frankly, people have a lot of hope for the incoming administration that we're going to finally see the America that we all dream of. Now, I can sit here and get all gushy over what was one of the greatest political speeches I've ever heard from Donald J. Trump at his inauguration ceremony, which without a doubt, it truly will go down in American history as one of the great all-time presidential speeches. But we'll have plenty of time for that. On the way out, Joe Biden, with the preemptive pardons, something that they all were scowling about before Trump left office when they were talking about preemptive pardons and how bad it would have been if he did it. But of course, then they do it. And it just shows you that they're guilty and Trump is the real deal. And they're afraid that Trump is going to get in there, look at all the classified documents, look at all the things that have been going on with the Biden crime family, the January 6th committee, Anthony Fauci, and beyond. And so he issued the preemptive pardon. But you have to wonder who put Joe Biden up to that, because Joe Biden obviously didn't make that decision. How many decisions can Joe Biden even make for himself on a daily basis anymore? So somebody was putting him up to that. But now we move forward. And if Donald Trump can get 50% of his agenda accomplished, then this country is going to look completely different 4 years from now. But let me report to you this. When Donald Trump was president in 2016, Washington, D.C. was buzzing. It was a vibe. People felt patriotic. They felt hopeful. People were smiling. Well, then in 2020 and the Biden years, Washington, D.C. became glum, gloomy, dark, downtrodden. It was not a pleasant place to be. But this weekend, Washington, D.C. returns to its greatness, just like the United States of America will with 4 years under Donald Trump. Now, I will be returning in studio tomorrow. I appreciate all of the guest hosts filling in for me while I'm away. I will have other big news to report when I do get back in studio. But as for now, I sign off and I will see you on the InfoWars War Room tomorrow to fill my hosting duties.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be taking more of your calls for at least the next 18 minutes. I see Eric, Porter, Robert, Spacey, Loretta, Tim, Matt on the board. Call in 877-789-2539. But before I get to the calls, I do want to read President Biden's pardon of Anthony Fauci this morning. Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America. To all to whom these presents shall come, greeting. Be it known that this day I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto Dr. Anthony S. Fauci a full and unconditional pardon for any offenses against the United States which he may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1st, 2014 through the date of this pardon arising from or in any diseases, or excuse me, in any manner related to his service as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force or the White House COVID-19 Response Team, or as chief medical advisor to the president, in testimony whereof I have hereunto signed my name and caused the seal of the Department of Justice to be affixed. All right, let's go to some calls. Eric in Canada, you've been waiting patiently for a long time. Eric, what's on your mind?
Welcome from the white north here up north of the imaginary border. I want to say thank you to the whole team, everybody behind the cameras, video editor, sound, everything. You guys are amazing. We all know the top names, but let's just represent the people behind. Let's just quickly jump into the 51st state. 51st state, absolutely impossible due to the fact that we have 10 provinces and 3 territories. Remember, everybody down in the south, you got Alberta, British Columbia, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Labrador. That's 2 provinces. Nova Scotia, Ontario, Prince Edward Island, Quebec, Saskatchewan. And then we go into the territories, Yukon, Nunavut, Northwest Territories. So that would make 64 states.
Well, hey, that's reasonable, but there were multiple islands when we annexed Hawaii and just made it one state.
Been to pretty much every province, or every province, so I'm so Canadian, I'm sorry. I've been to pretty much every state other than Alaska, Hawaii, traveling throughout my years, thankfully to one of the most iconic American legendary bands, the Grateful Dead, and many others. Let's just jump into politics. So we've gone through the election, the inauguration. Mr. Trump did an amazing job, amazing speeches. I've been watching you guys all morning, and I've been studying this thoroughly. Melania, amazing job, an amazing first lady. What a good support. Where do we go from here in regards to the transition, not just from a switch in politics to the American state, but also the grander spectrum when looking at the global village and who is actually attending Davos this week, who is actually a part of everything, and how it all ties in? Because there's literally 2 wings of a bird.
Absolutely. Well, I'm with you. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. On November 5th, we did not end a war between globalism and national sovereignty. We started one. And I saw from Elizabeth Warren today on her X account, she was posting a picture of Elon Musk, pictured with Vivek and Bezos and Zuckerberg and other big tech moguls. And she's saying, see how close big tech is to Donald Trump? That's a terrible sign, when we know that she's been in bed and the Democrats have been in bed with big tech for at least 10 years, if not 20 or 30 years. There's even documentation and studies that have been published recently indicating and proving that Google itself and much of its technology was originally formed by DARPA and that the CIA was behind its development. Similar to the Tor browser, which was supposed to be designed for privacy, but installed with all sorts of back doors so that people like Russ Ulbricht and others could be captured. And so we have this
beginning of the battle here. This is the end of A New Hope and the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back. And what we're going to witness now are the globalists striking back, similar to how they did in 2016 after Donald Trump became president for his first term. They issued just relentless assault on his presidency. But the difference now versus then is that Trump has even more popular support. He was not an unpopular president who was elected because his campaign strategy was more sophisticated and superior, allowing him to get electoral votes. He was also just simply more popular. And the people of America and the world are finally fed up with their various political establishments, the political class of the world. And right now we have this populist movement, which is this awakening that is the realization that the problems in politics are not about any left-wing party versus any right-wing party, but the people versus the political class. So I think that we're going to see a lot of conflict, a lot of tension occur over the next 4 years, but ultimately victory. What I'm most concerned about in the coming months and years is a pending economic collapse that is orchestrated, manufactured by the globalists, by the bankers, Federal Reserve, International Monetary Fund, and others, that's going to be used to blame populism so that populism then becomes unpopular. And in 2028, when we have another election, we'll have these sweeping leftist socialists that are able to come into power. So that's what we have to really, I think, keep our eyes on, is the economic collapse that they've been kicking the can on, trying to push down the road, that they're going to allow to happen under Donald Trump. Hopefully his policy is so superior that he can prevent it. Let's go to Porter in Florida. Porter, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm pretty sure I recognize that last caller as a YouTube creator, and I just wanted to say that he should have plugged his channel because he's great. I'd like to move forward, though. First of all, let me congratulate InfoWars right now, and let me congratulate you, Chase. You have worked very hard, and you deserve to be where you're at right now.
Thank you.
This isn't Porter from Gainesville. This is Benjamin Frisbee from Orlando, otherwise known as a content creator named Data Battle Z. I realize this isn't the place to do this right now, but I wanted to take this opportunity to be on a public forum and apologize to everyone there. I have been a supporter and fan of InfoWars in the past, but for the past few months, I've been quite lost. I want to apologize to the whole entire crew and anyone else who has suffered my awful behavior over the past few months. I have been wrong. I thought today the inauguration was going to go a little different. I've been extraordinarily paranoid because some of the events that I have been through. But I just wanted to take this opportunity to apologize. I'd also like to – I called when Jones was on the line. I thought I was going to talk to him. I want to congratulate Jones on taking control of his health. And he looks real good, and I'm proud of him for that. I know I'm just a home viewer. I'm not the CIA. I'm just a regular home person, and I don't want anything from this phone call except for others to see that someone can come on the air and admit when they've been wrong about things. So I'm going to move forward on my own, but I just wanted you all to know from the bottom of my heart, I have been a complete idiot and moron, and I completely agree with what Jones said right before he got off the air. Everything he said about Israel, that's the camp I'm in, not the crazy person I act like online. So anyone who may be listening, I'm someone who can admit when they're wrong, and I'm sorry. I'm going to stop being crazy and move on. Now.
I understand, and on behalf of the InfoWars crew and the hosts and myself, I accept your apology, Porter. Don't even sweat it.
Well, thank you, Chase. I really appreciate that. You've worked really hard. I know. I saw you kind of like maybe you showed up on my People You May Know, which always makes me think that someone looking at it. So if you saw any of the stuff I said, don't listen to me. I'm a crazy person. I need help. I'm getting it.
All right. Well, thanks, Porter. I appreciate you. Let's go to Robert in California. Robert, what's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You sound great.
Oh, hey, Chase. I want to thank you for your service, first of all. And my question is, I'm hearing a lot about the HB1 visas.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about the HB2 visas? Because I drive trucks out here, man, and you know, I go down the road, and 9 out of 10 truck drivers that pass me are all foreigners. They're all Indians or people from Africa, or you know what I'm saying? And, like, whereas before, the company that I work for would have, like, 50 loads from one company in a week, we're getting, like, maybe 2 or 3. I don't know. Don't quote me on that number. But Our line haul has gone down. I've heard a lot of small trucking companies are going out of business because they're not getting the runs that they used to get, because all of these brokers, these manufacturers are giving all of the loads, well, not all of them, but a good amount of them, to the foreigners, these NGO companies. And
yeah.
All you got to do is hit the road, man, and you'll see almost every truck driver that you pass is a foreigner. He's from India, you know, number one. India,
H-2B visas. I'm sorry, I'm just not familiar. I'm of course familiar with the H-1B visas because they've been a topic of controversy over the course of the last month. But what is the difference between a 1B and a 2B?
Okay, 1B, I guess, is for tech and for like specialized stuff, like scientists and stuff like that. The twos are for just regular work that blue collar citizens here do, Americans do, like
truckers, contractors, construction, that kind of stuff.
They're bringing people over here on HB2 visas to work at, like, say, Carvel's or the movie theaters. Like there's nobody to do that work. You know what I mean? But mainly, it's for the truckers. If you go on YouTube, there's instructional videos on how to fill out the application, how to get here. You know, we have people here in these countries that will drive, and they're very loyal. They'll work and blah blah blah. All of it. Just take a look at it, the HB2B.
Okay, I'll take a look. And let me ask you this, because I remember after this storm problem, the devastation that occurred because of the natural disaster in North Carolina, parts of Florida, a lot of truckers were reporting that there weren't any shipments scheduled to go to the areas that were the most devastated. Did you experience or witness any of that?
No, I'm not too sure about that. I haul reef, so I do food, you know. But all I know is from what you guys report and other media companies are reporting is that they weren't allowing people in there at all.
Incredible. Robert, thanks for your call and letting me know. I'll definitely look into the H-2B visas. Godzilla in Wisconsin. Godzilla, what's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to talk about strategies moving forward. I was listening to Jones and he was talking about Pearl Harbor. And after, you know, America was attacked by the Japanese. And I think that's what we need now, not a Pearl Harbor, but I think we need the counter to Pearl Harbor, which was Midway and the Doolittle Raids, where we struck back at Japan and, made them feel a punch from us, a counter punch.
Right in the capital, right in the heart of Japan.
Yes, yes. So then they ditched the planes in the ocean, and then after that there was the biggest kill of all history, the Tokyo firebombing. And I think it's important for the New World Order deep state to absorb that punch so they don't try to do any funny business or, you know, try to obstruct like they did last time so much, launch another pandemic or a big war, because if there's any time to hit them, it's now, you know? I don't know if you saw the historic story of Richard Best, Dick Best, who was a World War II pilot during the war in Midway. And it was just him and a small amount of guys that were really able to change the tide. And I think this would give it Trump a really good platform to really get what he wants to get done instead of getting obstructed for another 4 years. What do you think, Jay?
Well, I absolutely agree with you that now is the time to attack. When they're on the retreat, you push even harder. And this is not a strategic withdrawal or some sort of entrapment like you would see out of the movie 1917, where they want us to attack and then they're going to bombard us with artillery. They are literally on an authentic, genuine retreat. And we know this because we've seen major capitulation from the tech moguls. I think Elon Musk is genuine in his sentiment is switched to MAGA. I think the others saw the writing on the wall, the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses and the Bill Gateses and others who have kind of come forward and expressed support for Donald Trump. And so they're just not principled and converting to whatever's politically expedient or convenient to them. And we've also seen this retreat is authentic based on all of the pardons that Joe Biden has issued for his entire family, for Hunter going back to 2014, now for Fauci going back to 2014, as well as all of the members of the January 6th committee. We saw Adam Kinzinger just weeks ago in a clip say that he didn't even want a pardon because he didn't need one. And they always say that, but then they still get one in the last moments. But here are some examples per Fox and Eric Daugherty of the over 200 plus executive orders expected to be signed as soon as the end of the day today. First, a declaration of an emergency at the border, plus issue a proclamation closing the border, designating cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. This was posted by Unusual Whales on X. Remain in Mexico to be reinstated instead of catch and release. Military will be directed to construct new phase of border wall, terminate Biden orders on energy drilling restrictions, return federal workers to in-person work, pause all offshore wind leases, end DEI hiring practices in the federal government, merit only, withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord again, order every agency to remove all federal actions increasing costs for Americans via deregulation, suspend security clearances for the 51 officials who lied about the Hunter Biden 2020 laptop story, establish DOGE hiring freeze, as well as other things like pardoning all of the J6 prisoners and commuting the sentences of those who would be classified as violent offenders, even. And I think a lot of this is going to happen today. So these are the first steps. Once we clean up our own house, once we make our own bed, so to speak, here in the United States of America, then you're going to see Donald Trump, I think, begin to do things within the next, like, literally 7 days that are going to de-escalate all of these conflicts all over the world, whether it's tensions with China over Taiwan or the Ukraine conflict, which almost escalated to World War III at least half a dozen times over the course of the last year, and even these conflicts between Israel and the surrounding areas as well. So I think we're almost there, folks. But we've got about 2 minutes left of this segment, and before we go to break, I do want to plug something, and Harrison Smith is going to be joining us. We've got this amazing commemorative inaugural coin here at the alexjonesstore.com. Obviously, today is a very historic day, January 20th, 2025. President Trump has been inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States. We were concerned that maybe there was going to be an attack yesterday, or maybe there was going to be an attack today, but by the grace of God, Donald Trump is not the president-elect. He is the president of the United States of America, officially as of now. And I know that silver, an ounce of silver is worth about $35 or so. It fluctuates because silver has gone up in value. We're selling this coin for $99 because it's a fundraiser coin to help keep Alex Jones on the air, InfoWars on the air, as well as this crew working to blast the truth against the assault of lies perpetuated by the New World Order and the globalist agenda. And so by going to the alexjonesstore.com, you can get this beautiful coin with Donald Trump featured on one side with his fist raised in the air saying, "Battle for the Republic 2024, fight, fight, fight." And then on the other side, 47 Donald J. Trump with his signature stating 47th President of the United States, January 20th, 2025. This coin is not only a beautiful piece of history, a beautiful collector's item that we designed ourselves with the help of Big Lee and Alex Jones, designed this coin, cannot be found or purchased anywhere else, but it also keeps InfoWars on the air. And like I said earlier in this segment many times before, on November 5th, we did not win a war. We started one. And the way to defeat the assault of lies being perpetuated by this globalist New World Order agenda, this political class of the world, which is seeking to conglomerate all power in order to subjugate humanity and perpetuate their power indefinitely, expand it even so. We have to have the truth and freedom of speech and the fight for humanity broadcast worldwide. And InfoWars has been doing this for 30 years. Others are now doing it now. The Tucker Carlsons, the Joe Rogans, the Viva Frays. And countless others are doing an incredible job now, but it was all started by Alex Jones, and it was all started by InfoWars, which declared an information war for the first time on those deep state apparatus that perpetuate psychological operations on the American people and the people of the world, issue regime changes and war after war. Let's fight back on the information front right now by going to the alexjonesstore.com and getting the commemorative 2025 inaugural coin.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at the alexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels.
levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at the alexjonesstore.com.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic, but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate CMOS gummies are finally back in stock. Now, this is our number one bestseller at the AlexJonesStore.com, and for good reason. Ultimate CMOS gummies are loaded with iodine, which we know that our thyroid needs in order to effectively detox our bodies from all the pollutants and toxins that are in the food, water, and air that we breathe. Folks, we are under relentless assault from the New World Order. They're trying to shut down InfoWars, they're trying to silence Alex Jones, and they're trying to attack our minds and our bodies with all these toxins and chemicals that are all around us all the time. Please check out Ultimate CMOS Gummies right now at the AlexJonesStore.com and benefit from the amazing benefits of this product. It's got bladderwrack and burdock root in it, which is also rich in iodine. It's the amazing, most bioavailable way to get iodine in your thyroid. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now and experience the benefits of the antioxidant and immune support, energy and bone strength, helps promote heart health, provides gut support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Check it out right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to the AlexJonesStore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now.
Infowars.com/show. From the tip of the spear to the edge of tomorrow, here's what happens next from your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I am your host, Chase Geyser, joined by the esteemed, the credible, the incredible, the infamous Harrison Hill Smith. What is on your mind, dude? Thanks for bringing your ex account back so everybody doesn't think I shut you down and stole your job.
Yeah, they don't know about what goes on behind the scenes here. No, it's a great day. It's a glorious day. Things are already happening. They're already shutting down the border. They're already turning away people with CBV1 app appointments to invade our country. It's amazing. It's glorious.
What was the deal with the CBP One app? I saw this on the news here on X. Yeah. I didn't even know what that was.
You don't know the CBP? Okay,
no, remind me.
So they made an app for illegal immigrants to download to basically circumvent the entire immigration process and make an appointment to meet with somebody. But it was essentially it's like an alternative to a passport. You know, it was just an app that they would use to circumvent the law and would allow people in. In mass numbers, and they shut that off today. And there's also images of the police with their shields up at the El Paso border crossing. And it's one of the things where it's like we've been sitting in a house that's been flooding for 4 years, and finally we did what was necessary to have somebody come in and just turn the faucet off, and the flooding is stopped. It's as easy as that. It's literally been a choice this entire time to be flooded by tens of millions of foreigners, and the moment Trump is in office, the border is shut, and it was literally a decision made, and it's done. It's pretty amazing.
You know what's shocking to me about this is when I think about the history of the United States and for how long it didn't really matter who the president was. Like, of course, it always mattered because there were always significant powers to the executive branch. But you think about Franklin Pierce, and it's hard to name one thing he did, right? And there's so many presidents kind of like that where it's like, you know, everything was just going along, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This was before the Civil War. This was after the Civil War. Really, only in the last 100 years have presidents, especially since 1929, have presidents been like utterly consequential.
Right.
And it's shocking to me how quickly a president can fix everything, because that also indicates how quickly a president can screw everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is it that we've gotten to this place where the president basically does have astronomical powers that aren't checked, seemingly? And I'm not criticizing Trump. He's doing the best. He's making the right decisions. But the unfortunate thing with a monarchy is that it depends on whether or not you have a good king.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point because we are sort of losing the Republican system as we speak, and we're relying on these like singular guys like Trump and Musk to swoop in and save us. And while it's good that they're here to do that, it's pathetic that our system is degraded to such a point that we actually have to rely on these extraordinary guys to go out of their way and take huge risks to just set things as they should be. But you know, it's what we've been pointing out forever, the sort of quiet war going on in the federal government between the various branches, and systematically the executive branch has basically taken all of these congressional powers to itself. I mean, we don't get Congress to declare war anymore. Congress has sort of slowly but surely ceded all of its power to the executive branch, in part, I think, because they just it's less responsibility. They would just rather not have to make those decisions, put it on the executive branch, and then they don't have to explain anything to their constituents when they go home as congressmen or senators. So over a long period of time, slowly but surely, the executive branch, I think, has gained a lot of its the power that was originally denoted to be Congress's responsibility. So this is like a cold war that's been going on behind the scenes for quite a long time. And that includes things like the NSA spying on Congress and, you know, holding things over their head and blackmailing them and getting them to go along with things by saying it's a national security, you know, issue, stopping congressional oversight. By saying, well, this is, secret stuff. You have no right to oversee this. So hopefully that's reversed. Hopefully we can actually send things back to Congress and the Senate. We can actually be the republic that we are meant to be and not just sort of, Republican name only, as the executive does whatever he wants whenever he wants.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And one of the things that came to mind immediately as you were describing that dynamic was Mike Johnson walking into that skiff earlier this year before funding $63 billion to Nazis on Hitler's birthday with one position about Ukraine funding, walking out 2 hours later with the complete opposite position. Question, of course, is, was he given intelligence that made him change his mind? Was he blackmailed? Was it both?
But see, we actually know the answer because Thomas Massey was also in that skiff and came out going, what the hell did you convince him? Like, Thomas Massey said, I can't tell you what I heard in the skiff because it is classified, but he's
right.
Like, there was nothing there that.
So Mike Johnson just feigned the position he had before he walked in acted as if he was given classified information to cover for the fact that he's a shitbag.
Yeah, so he goes in going, oh, I'm real against this Ukraine thing. And then he goes into the skiff and comes out going, oh my gosh, I was mistaken before. I guess I'm for this now. But Thomas Massey's sitting there going, they didn't tell us anything we didn't know. what are you talking about? So thanks.
I didn't catch that. That's unbelievable piece of information. So do you think that Elon Musk and Trump are feigning support for Mike Johnson and they know that he's a weasel? Or do you think that they're being naive and they have yet to see what seems kind of obvious to us?
I think Mike Johnson might have a similarity to Mark Zuckerberg, where they're just sort of lackeys. They're just sort of natural lackeys. And
he'll play on our side now that we're in control.
Now that we're, ascendant, they're going to be on our side. And then if, we get knocked off, then, they'll be on whoever's side next. They're survivors, like cockroaches. kind of like that.
Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse with this because it is old news. But the fact that he acted like the $1.2 trillion omnibus bill was unstoppable, and then it was literally stopped within 8 hours because Elon Musk posted a tweet and everybody scoured through the 1,547 pages.
Yeah.
That was a major red flag for me.
I mean, this is a crazy thing. You know, Trump was inaugurated this morning, but between November and this morning, I think Donald Trump achieved more than Biden did in his entire 4 years, from the ceasefire to, I mean, you know, stopping the omnibus. I mean, never in my – this was always just sort of, you know, a game they play where it – you know, this big spending bill comes up and they're going to, you know, argue about it back and forth and you're going to shut down the government. Sometimes they do shut down the government, but it always passes at the end of the day. This was the first time that, you know, actual outrage from the citizens stopped that bill in its tracks and actually fixed things. I mean, this is a major sea change going on right now across the entire country. And globally, really, when you actually think about it. And I wonder, I don't know if you know this, Davos is starting today. So mm-hmm. The meeting in Davos, probably, I wonder how many people are, you know, at the inauguration today are going to hop on private jets and jet off to Davos this afternoon or tomorrow morning to meet with, you know, the real person whose loyalty they hold, Klaus Schwab and the other globalists. So just know, like, as much as Trump is doing right now, there is a cabal of billionaires and industrialists and royal family members and Klaus Schwab coming together to likely, you know, try to circumvent or distort anything Trump is doing, just like they did in 2016. So I hope we're all ready to fight. We're in this weird position where it's like it's a victory, but it's also the starting gun. I mean, this is like this is like we're celebrating.
Just like the 4th of July. You know, you celebrate that you declared independence, but now you're at war with Britain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is when the war really begins. But again, you know, we're already having successes, and the left is already doing what we expected them to do. I don't know if the crew can grab it. I actually meant to drop it in the show folder, but it's everywhere. There's already video of like a woman crying, again, because her CBP1 app canceled her appointment. And she was like, oh, you know, I had an appointment in 20 minutes, but now it's canceled. And
I know. 20 minutes away?
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, you know, you've had 4 years to cross the border and you wait till the last 20 minutes. The last thing we need in this country is more procrastinators.
Can you imagine waiting at the DMV for hours only to find that your appointment was canceled? It's like when I wait on the phone to speak to the IRS. They're always sending me letters. I've waited on hold for 4 hours before and they'd be like, sorry, our office is closed. Now I know how this migrant feels.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
You didn't have to cross through the Darien Gap in the first place. But yeah, look, we know this. We know they're going to do this. They're going to cry. Like, if I get one message to the Republicans, it's like, guys, we know the Democrats are going to cry. It's what they do. We have to do this anyway. It doesn't matter if the woman from Mexico cries because she has to stay in Mexico. Sorry, this is your country. You have to stay there. It's like not cruel and unusual for someone to stay in the place where they were born and grew up. That's normal. That's how it's supposed to be. But they're going to find, you know, a woman weeping and plaster it everywhere and say, look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. You made a woman cry. This is why we can't have laws or the Constitution anymore.
Is this her right here?
Yeah, this is her. Yeah.
Let's show it full screen.
She's very sad. If only she'd left 20 minutes earlier. And I mean, it looks staged.
Well, you know, the punctuality is a you know, function of white supremacy, white privilege.
Yeah, well, right. Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's very true.
I mean, I feel bad for this woman. Everybody wants to come to the United States of America, but I feel worse for the people in America who are actually citizens that are suffering.
Right.
Whose tax dollars are going to perpetuate wars in Ukraine, resulting in the death of hundreds of thousands of innocent people, who perpetuate every conflict from what's happening between Israel and Gaza to Taiwan and China and every major issue throughout the entire world, which has been perpetuated by our own CIA, when we've unseated Gaddafi in Libya, when we've killed Saddam Hussein for no reason whatsoever, all claiming that we love democracy, while we find Osama bin Laden in Pakistan of all places, and leaving us with the question, why did we go anywhere in the first place? I, you know, I feel more sad for the children getting raped right now in Afghanistan because we left it in such a hurry than I feel for this woman who missed her appointment by 20 minutes. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just ranting.
Well, no, I mean, first of all, like, this woman is in like designer clothes. She's like, all of her clothes are brand new. She doesn't, this isn't like, you know, bundled in rags and she's just like, please, I just need some food. It's like, this is a well-funded program.
Yeah, she doesn't look like she needed anything to eat.
Yeah, no, look, it's like really the thing that happened to this woman is she was like, oh, can I come in? And they were like, yeah, oh, wait, sorry, no. And she's like crying.
I just can't believe she got faked. Like, excited, you know, like, yeah, then, well, no.
Yeah.
It's like getting an email that you got the job and a follow-up email 5 minutes later, oh, we made a mistake.
But what are they even doing? I mean, you've got this other caravan going up to the southern border, and they're like, they're trying to race to get here before Trump's inauguration. It's like, so they're just racing to be deported? I mean, what do they expect to happen? They're going to get in, you know, even if they get in, Trump's just going to deport them again. So, like, what are you crying about? You're crying that you didn't have an opportunity to be deported? Just stay there. You just stay in the country where you were born and raised. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. This isn't torture. This isn't some woman who's had her life destroyed. She's been told no, and now she's crying. And that's the totality of it.
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got some people that have been waiting a long time. I want to go to Spacey in Arizona. Spacey, if you're there, you are on the air.
Yo!
What's up?
Okay. So, first and foremost, thank you for taking my call. Second, you guys look similar. I'm a black guy.
look the same to you.
Your brothers. You're happy and you're singing and you're Trumpers. Give me a high five. So I'm an entertainer. It's what I use as an alias for Space Lab X, which is my website. I want to tell you, first and foremost, Chase, I'm going to tell you what I was going to tell Alex, because you're never going to get where you need to go if people who have good points stop talking when Alex isn't on the phone. That's not how things work.
Sure.
You gotta have the good calls.
Give me one.
So first and foremost, Agenda 2030. Here's what I feel is going to happen. I feel like they have crossed the line. They can't do anything else. They are throwing everything over the tipping point. The watershed has completely turned over. It's done. So here's what I feel that they're going to do. They're going to start talking about world citizens. You're a citizen of the world. They're going to come out with a world flag. The populist agenda is already, we're destroying them. It's transparent. Everything is, you can't just pardon Fauci before he hasn't done anything, and it'd be like, huh? Why would you do that? That's weird. They're gonna have to pull. You can't have 2030 without laying the groundwork down there.
And yeah, the answer to 2030 is 2024. What do you think, Harrison?
Look, I think a lot of their programs are still in motion. I think Trump's victory is a. Major success, obviously, but the thing with the globalist programs, they have these supranational organizations like the World Economic Forum, but they're also being implemented on the local level, which, you know, President Trump or the federal government has no power over. So they're still very much moving forward with their plans. And unless you take really, tangible, aggressive moves against them, it's going to continue. It's going to continue this way, especially, demographic trends. I mean, if there's not a significant change in migration and even remigration from places like Europe, the trend will continue indefinitely. So unless something is done to interfere with it and to change the trajectory, we're still very much sort of
saw that they were successful with all their globalist agendas, even under the first Trump administration. And it was despite Trump, not because of Trump. And I think that he'd surrounded himself with some bad people who misguided him during the pandemic specifically. Obviously, Fauci was a bad apple, should have been out way earlier. Obviously, Mike Pence ended up being a real rat, should have been out earlier, if that's even possible. I don't know how you get rid of a vice president because they're technically elected. But we saw that through the pandemic, which was manufactured in a lab, which spread intentionally by the CCP, which catalyzed the shutdown of the entire United States, basically causing tons of people, small businesses, to go out of business so the major businesses could buy them all up and wipe out the competition, while inflation was rampant with 40% of all dollars ever printed during that year, so that all of those with enough money to be invested in the stock market made disproportional gains, while others just lost all of their buying power, virtually eradicating the middle class almost in one year. We saw that there were major globalist operations that were successful during the first Trump administration. So Trump is not the end-all be-all, and one man, regardless of whether it's Elon Musk or Donald Trump, is not going to be capable of solving these problems. But I think now we have the people behind him and the experience of the first term behind him that are going to make it much more difficult for the globalists to pull off the same agenda that they were able to accomplish the first time around. What do you think, Harrison?
I think that MAGA is different this time. I think that the character of Trump's base is not as willing to sit back and wait and just trust the plan. I mean, obviously, Q was a gigantic psyop, and that was the primary one. In complete, you know, inversion of what InfoWars says, you are the resistance. You have to go out there. You have to be the one to make change. QAnon told you, Trump's in office now. Don't worry about it. You're good. And I think now MAGA is sort of waiting to hold Trump's feet to the fire. Is not just going, trust Trump. He knows what he's doing. But saying, hey, where are those January 6th pardons, Trump? I know you've announced them. Let's sign it. Let's sign it right now. We're not going to be satisfied until these things actually happen, which I think is a good thing. And in that topic, by the way, he has announced that he's going to pardon all nonviolent January 6ers and commute the sentences of all of the other January 6ers. So according to CNN and all the reports we're seeing today, I don't think it's been signed yet, at least as of, you know, 10 minutes ago when I came on with you. He has not signed this yet, but that is the word on the street, is that all the January 6ers will be let out. All of the prosecutions that are ongoing right now are going to be stopped in their tracks and aren't going to go any further. Those nonviolent people are going to have their sentences basically undone and their convictions wiped off. Well, it's all, you know, legalese. So it's like they'll still be convicted, but it won't be on their record, and they'll be pardoned fully for those, guilty pleas or whatever they put in. Whereas the violent people on January 6th, people who were convicted of violent crimes, are still going to have their sentences commuted, but they're not going to be pardoned. And it's either way, they're getting out of prison, which is a wonderful thing. We'll be very happy when we see that come to fruition.
Absolutely. Let's go to Matt in Ohio. Matt, you've been waiting an hour and 45 minutes. If you're still with us, go ahead. You are on the air.
But listen, you take care of yourself. I'm glad you're doing good.
I can't hear that.
I'm sorry, Matt. I can't hear you. You sound like you're talking to me from underwater. If you're one of those Chinese drones flying in from the Pacific, please make sure you're airborne before you call again. Let's go to Tim in Washington, also waiting an hour and 46 minutes. Tim, what's on your mind?
Not much, other than now is the time for Alex Jones to set aside some Bill Gates and show Donald Trump exactly who the person he is. So I'd like to invite Alex to – I was going to invite Alex, but – that's just the way it went — to come to Seattle and protest at the Gates Foundation. We've already had 201 protests there, and we need the big voices to help crush his public persona. And I'm terrified that Trump is going to somehow allow the Republican establishment to just kind of pave the way for the normalcy of Bill Gates in his administration. And that's a deal breaker. And I need Alex. I was proud of Alex because I was really on the fence. There's a lot of nuance, as you said, with Donald Trump and Warp Speed, Fauci, and the lack of ownership to all this. And so we can't allow politicians to do what we need them to do because they're not going to. The lobby, the financial interests are far too strong. They've established that. They're going to bend to the will of the dollar or the rest of their crony buddies. And so we, the people, need to actually stand up. Alex is really trying to show both sides, isn't he? You can kind of see that he's got that big tent where he's trying to show the establishment and the people to fight back. And I think it would be a really good chance for Alex, InfoWars, and Donald Trump and everybody else in the MAGA movement to just remove Bill Gates from our lives by having him arrested for the crimes against humanity. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, it's not a cloud chase. I just want you guys to never forget that what he did, it was Bill Gates. And Harrison, I played your Event 201 analysis while Owen was still in Washington, D.C. from 2020. You were one of the first ones to break down Event 201, and you did it masterfully. And I appreciate that. So I played that yesterday at the Gates Foundation for Protest 201.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you that Bill Gates is a major issue. And look, we were talking about this earlier. Everybody should have known that there was a major problem with Bill Gates as soon as Clippy came out. Right, Harrison? What are your thoughts?
Clippy was just getting us ready for AI, seducing us to love AI. Thank you very much for that, Tim. And you're exactly right. And really what you know, your call made me think of is finally now we get to be on the offense again. Now we get to sort of go after the Bill Gateses of the world and the people that are doing this to us from the inside out. I mean, we've spent the last 4 years on the defense as MAGA Americans, seeing what they're doing to Trump. Here at InfoWars, we've been, you know, just reporting on the absolute insanity of the Biden administration. And now it's time to, you know, realign and get back to doing what we do best, which is pointing out the evil scumbags that are doing everything they can to manipulate the American people towards our own destruction. So thank you very much for that call, Tim. I know there's some technical difficulties trying to figure out with the X Spaces right now. So if you're on X Spaces, well, you probably can't hear me, so maybe it's pointless to talk to them. But they're figuring that out as we speak. I do want to say, I mean, can we just appreciate this for a second? I'm still, when Trump won, I almost couldn't believe it. I still almost can't believe it. Trump, as we speak, is the president of the United States. And
yes, not president-elect.
And look, I said this on X as well, but like not only did this day require a succession of miracles, right? Literally him dodging bullets to just, you know, winning every lawfare case against him. I mean, what had to happen? The number of dominoes that had to fall in perfect succession to get to this point is unbelievable and unimaginable. The fact that we're here is truly a gift from God. But it also relied on the failures of the Democratic Party. If they had just let us win in 2020, if they hadn't rigged the election in 2020, this would be the last day of Donald Trump's political life. The yeah. Democrats would be sitting pretty right now. Donald Trump would be ending his second administration and he'd be going off to do whatever, play golf. He'd never be able to be president again. It would all be over today if they had just let us win in 2020. And he would have had Mike Pence and he would have had Democrats with the House and the Senate. It would have been a not a great 4 years for Trump. Instead, because they're devious, because they're deceitful, because they're control freaks that want to cheat to win, they set us up to be in an even better position for Trump to come swooping in with this massive mandate with the House and the Senate, full sweep victory across the board. They did it to themselves. They may have put up a better fight if they'd actually let their constituents vote in the Democratic Party. Instead, they had to do the underhanded, skeevy, top-down control freak sort of thing and appoint Joe Biden and then have Kamala Harris run. I mean, they screwed themselves over and over because they can't play fair and you always lose at the end. So this really is just a beautiful symbolic day of victory, not just because the Republicans have been faithful and steadfast and, you know, relied on and trusted in God to get us here, but because the Democrats did the opposite and it screwed them over time and time again. So I would like to personally thank the Democrats for being such reprehensible.
Yeah, for sealing
scumbags.
Two primaries in a row.
Yeah,
and just totally alienating their base.
Yeah, thank you for setting us up to absolutely dominate culturally, politically, legally. It's just we couldn't do it without you, folks. God has blessed us with the dumbest and most corrupt enemies of all time, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you, folks.
Yeah, thank you, Sauron, for forgetting that there was a whole army of ghosts under the mountain. So
exactly.
That we could totally have the opportunity to take over. Folks, we're coming up on a break in 24 seconds, and Harrison's absolutely right. The miracle of Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning it into X, as imperfect as Elon Musk is, was a necessary function of victory. The miracle of Trump turning his head at that moment was a necessary function of victory. And InfoWars being on the air was a necessary function of victory. So support us now by going to thealexjonesstore.com and stay tuned for more on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars
on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambuca's gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
But I was really going to talk about the level of, you know, what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why are we trying to help a guy like Milley? Why are we doing Milley? He was pardoned. What he said, terrible what he said. Why are we helping some of the people? Why are we helping Liz Cheney? I mean, Liz Cheney is a disaster. She's a crying lunatic and crying Adam Kinzinger. He's a super crying. I never saw the guy not crying. He's always crying. I look at him. I remember years ago he was actually on my side. And then one day, you know, when you don't want to kill people in wars, they turn against you. Liz Cheney hated the concept of not going to war with everybody. Let's kill everybody. Let's spend a lot of money on military equipment. You know where her father works, right? And but what she did was incredible. Think of it. They destroyed and deleted all of that information that went on for almost 2 years against Trump. And the reason they did, because it was all false. Like the person that said, I tried to strangle a Secret Service agent. That's one of the toughest human beings I think I've ever seen. I actually had a friend say, please don't change that, sir. You are the coolest sucker in history. Remember she said, I put my hands around his neck. Because he wouldn't go to the Capitol. Made up fiction. And I was rebuffed. And the guy on the right is a massive weightlifter. Probably stronger than me. Do you think he's stronger than me, honey? You know who I'm talking about. Possibly stronger than me. Slightly younger than me. Like, I won't say how many years because I don't want to talk about that. But a lot of years. But I had a friend that said, why are you disputing that story? That's the coolest story I've ever heard. That I would attack a karate champion, get slightly rebuffed, and then throw my arms around a guy with a neck about this big. Even though there are bars, you know, there are bars. You can't really do that anyway. So I wanted to talk about that. But all of that stuff got deleted. And the reason it got deleted is they were all caught in lies. You know, Secret Service testified, and they said it didn't happen. Actually, the two guys were very embarrassed. They're suffering. Because their friends are saying, did Trump really do that to you? But they gained a whole new respect for me. But it was just make-believe stuff. And there were a lot of make-believe stories made up. So rather than suffer the wrath, like the story with Nancy Pelosi, I offered her 10,000 soldiers.
She admitted it on tape
that her daughter made. She's a videographer or whatever you call her. Which I'm glad she is. Oh, she can't be in good stead with Nancy. But Nancy said it was my responsibility. As she's leaving the Capitol, she said it was, and it was. She's in charge of security at the Capitol. But I offered them up to 10,000 soldiers, even more. One time I said, more, as many as you need. But you needed 4,500. If 4,500, 10,000, that would be more than the number of people there by lot. But we offered her 10,000. Think of it, 10,000 soldiers. In other words, J6 wouldn't be J6. There would have been no J6. But she rebuffed them. She didn't like it. No, she didn't like it. Maybe she wanted that to happen. But she's guilty as hell. And now we would have to go through the process because they destroyed all evidence. They deleted everything. There's virtually nothing left. The other fake story and so many other fake stories. And many people came out on our side. And those people now would get to find them. There's nothing left. So that's a criminal offense. If that were a civil case, it would be a criminal offense. If that happened civilly where you did that, it would be a criminal offense. So I decided I'm not going to make this speech complicated. I'm going to make it beautiful. I'm going to make it a unifying speech. And then when they said we have a a group of people that are serious Trump fans. I said, this is the time to tell those stories.
All right, folks, beautiful words from President Donald J. Trump. Today, he's expected to be signing some serious executive orders in the coming minutes. It looks like the stadium is filling up as people anxiously await what is to come. Stay tuned for more of what is to come on the other side of this break. And make sure you visit thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
For listeners and viewers that have gone to thealexjonesstore.com and gotten Ultimate Sea Moss, which is the ultimate superfood, chock full of organic iodine and all these key vitamins and minerals, and the way God has the Irish sea moss grow, the way it all fuses together, just has incredible effects. It's right up there with hemp for just being a over-the-top superfood. I've been on it for now 4 or 5 months, and the clarity, the focus, my skin, my energy, the weight loss is insane. And so, Ultimate Sea Moss is available at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you love that product, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to want two of the new gummy products that are in Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Iron and Vitamin C. Both of these powerful gummy products are available right now with a big bottle jammed right to the top with these babies. Both of these amazing formulas are now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. You're listening to Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I am Chase Geyser, your host for the next 1 hour and 54 minutes. I believe Alex Jones is going to be joining us again with more analysis, but if he doesn't show up, then I'll be here. All right, we've had a lot of people waiting patiently on hold. Let's go to some calls. I'm going to speak with Loretta in Maine first because she has been waiting the longest. Loretta, what is on your mind?
Hey, Chase and Harrison, by the way, I've been waiting since, as you know, Alex was on air, and you guys are great.
Thank you.
So I'm not disappointed at all, and I totally agree with Harrison. I'm actually so empathetic. When I saw that woman crying at the border, I was like, oh, that's terrible, even though I know all this stuff is baloney, right? But I think that's a great point about the poster child using her, and, of course, that's their playbook. So I have to settle down about that, even though that's not – I totally agree with everything President Trump is about to do, hopefully. But I want to say, first and foremost, God bless Alex and all of you guys, and I mean that. But I want to go back to my original – I've listened to so many things. There's so much stuff I would want to talk about. But today I watched the inauguration, and I had – I saw something that was weird, and I apologize if Alex has already addressed this, but when President, when Vice President J.D. Vance took the podium to take his oath, Chief Justice Roberts asked him to place his left hand on the Bible and raise his right hand and repeat after him and take his oath, which he did. And then when President Trump took the podium and Melania stepped beside him, she was holding the two Bibles, and Chief Justice Roberts did not ask him to place his left hand on the Bible, but he only asked him to raise his right hand. Hmm. And he did not ask President Trump to do the same thing he asked J.D. Vance. And when President Trump back in 2017 was sworn in, he did place his left hand on the Bible, and he did raise his right hand and took his oath. He did not do that today.
Interesting.
It was very strange. And I don't understand why he did not. And I thought about this a while since being on hold, and I thought about this a while today. I've been researching it, seeing if other people have mentioned it, and of course, it's, you know, it's people are saying he did not, and I've seen several angles. It does not look like he did. There were two Bibles there, one given to him by his mother, I guess on his ninth birthday or a few days before his ninth birthday, and then the Abe Lincoln Bible, and they both were just conspicuously in Melania's hands, and I went back to the inauguration in that time, and Chief Justice Roberts did not even ask him to place his left hand on the Bible. So it's almost like it was planned for him not to put his hand on the Bible. It's very strange. I want to know what Alex thinks of it. And I want to mention one other little thing while I'm talking about this. And it's we all know, at least the people like you and I, the election was completely stolen. It was stolen overnight, and it was a complete debacle, And I wonder, because President Trump always said at the end of every speech, the best is yet to come. But when I watched him on January 20th, 4 years ago, at the tarmac, and he was getting ready to go onto Air Force One or whatever it's called, he with his family, he did not end his speech with the best is yet to come. And so when he left office, everything since seems like a sham, right? Because Biden, his farewell address, there's no gold fringe around the flags. It looks like a complete Oval Office stage. It's just not the Oval Office. It's ridiculous. And as my husband pointed out, where's his wedding band was not even on his ring finger. So a lot of questions. Why was Biden not wearing his wedding band? Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I never really thought about it before. But it's kind of like, does President Trump feel like he never stepped away from the presidency, even though we know he's not the one that's been calling the shots? Anyway, I just think it's very strange he did not put his left hand on the Bibles. And I think it's strange that Chief Justice Roberts did not ask him to.
Yeah, well, I think they probably had a conversation about that beforehand, and that's probably why it was done that way. And what came to mind as you mentioned the story, I did not notice it, by the way. That was an incredible observation. I'm very grateful that you mentioned it. We know that Donald Trump has been a Christian for an extended period of time, but we know that there was a spiritual awakening that happened after his assassination attempt in Butler. He was on his knees, even in a praying position. I don't think he was praying when he was on his knees. I think he was just in shock, but it was very iconic to see him beneath the podium as the blood was dripping from his face. He stands up again and he says, fight, fight, fight. And he's even mentioned repeatedly, including today, that he believes that he was saved by God in order to save this country and make America great again. And I really do think that he had a rebirth, a baptism of sorts that occurred on that day where he's found his faith. And I think he's been reading and studying the Bible. I mean, you look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, of course, this is Jesus, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So I think we have Donald Trump here letting his yes be yes and his no be no. He's not swearing the oath by the Bible or by heaven or by the earth. I think he's been studying the New Testament, and he has come to the conclusion that his yes is good enough because he is reborn. Loretta, great call. Richard in Tennessee. Richard, what's on your mind? Richard in Tennessee at the bottom there. Okay, Richard, I can hear you now. What's up?
Yeah, the pardon that was done on Fauci especially, that resolves him from federal crimes, but it doesn't resolve him from international crimes.
Or even state crimes.
The Hague, huh?
Or even state crimes.
Yeah, right, or state crimes. And so he could be extradited to The Hague for crimes against humanity. The other thing is, I heard on your report a few days back, because I listen to you every day, that Soros had signed some agreement with Trudeau about bringing people in the country. Now, he's not a foreign advocate of any sort. I think they ought to haul his fat butt out and try him on charges for doing that. And, I mean, there's certain things that can happen to these people, and like Bill Gates, too.
You know, Trudeau announced that he was resigning. Has that actually happened?
I haven't heard of it. No, I haven't seen him or heard of it. Of course, I listen to you guys mostly anyway. Sure. You're the only reliable news source, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Look, even Klaus Schwab himself says we have penetrated the cabinets, and he referred specifically to Canada and to Trudeau. We know that Justin Trudeau is Castro's son and that his mother was a terrible slut. It's well documented. She admits it herself. I've got footage of her bragging about how she loves being polyamorous and there's an interesting man in her life and she's always sleeping around and there's pictures of her doting on Castro. And then you can compare the pictures of Justin Trudeau and Castro and they're just identical. It's very obvious that she went over there on a boat, had a good time with Castro, popped out Justin Trudeau, and now we have this communist Castro Jr. as the Prime Minister of Canada. And he's just weak and effeminate with his silly socks and his crossed legs and his mannerisms. It's absolutely disgusting saying that he's going to resign because there's not an effective way moving forward. But then doesn't resign. Even Gavin McInnes knew him growing up. Gavin McInnes has said that he was a giant pussy growing up. I have no doubt about that whatsoever because he's been just the same over the course of his entire leadership in Canada. And so I'm sure that Alex Soros or George Soros is coming together and shaking hands with Justin Trudeau, because when you shake his hand, you shake his whole entire being, and therefore you're shaking all of Canada itself, which is a threat to the United States given that it's the northern border and we have Chinese military exercises happening in China, in Canada, right above our border. Total insult. People seeping in through the top border just as much as the southern border.
Kind of person that has any insight, you can judge a book by its cover and take a look at these people and figure out where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
So,
just show the picture, guys, of that I made you guys show last night of Bill Gates laying on his desk with his Microsoft computer. I mean, these aren't exactly champions. They're not exactly Herculean, not exactly Spartans, though I think they have some similarities with the Spartans. Thank you so much for your call, Richard. I appreciate it. Tim in California. Tim, what's on your mind?
I want to talk about Donald Trump yesterday when he went to Arlington National Cemetery. And it was a little bit misty rain, but there was no wind whatsoever. And there came a time where four of them come up to the line, and they've got four prepared standards that they're going to put four wreaths on. And the first to go is Trump. And they have to stand there, like, honestly, in total silence for like 3 complete minutes without anybody moving. And that includes one of the four had one arm and one leg. Okay, so they didn't move a stitch. Nobody made a sound. Nobody coughed. Nothing. So it came Donald Trump's time. He walks up with a wreath. He puts it on the standard, and he stays there like another minute or so. And then as he begins backing up, all of a sudden, these two ribbons that are red, white, and blue ribbons that are on the wreath, they start reaching out to him like, no, no, not beyond my reach. Come back. And they start almost like butterflies touching his lapels. And when that happened, I just about lost it, because what came to mind was Matthew 9:20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And those red, white, and blue ribbons knew that if I can just touch them, America will be whole. You might think that's overly dramatic, but I'll tell you, Chase, the Spirit of God that dwells within me, man, I was standing at attention the entire time this thing was happening. And the moment those ribbons reached out, I was sobbing. I knew.
Wow. Well, that's a beautiful observation there. And I think that God works that way. I think that we are his canvas. We are his artistic expression, his creation. And there's little subtleties like that littered throughout our experience as human beings, littered throughout the human condition, that speak to us in a meaningful way. And look, I don't want to portray Trump as some messianic figure. I don't think he's America's Messiah. I think there's only one Messiah, but there are certain people among us, Alex Jones, I believe to be one of these. JFK maybe would have been one of these. Donald Trump is one of these, who are armed or weaponized or utilized in a disproportionate way by God for the sake of manifesting his plan for humanity. And those with tremendous power or influence do have tremendous responsibility. And I don't know what's going to happen over the course of the next 4 years. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult, perhaps even more difficult than the first 4 years of his first term, 2016 to 2020. But what we are witnessing here, folks, is the battle, the ultimate battle between good and evil. It's captured in all of our literature, all of our cinema, whether it's The Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Dune. We are witnessing a plan laid out before us, and we have to determine whether or not we manifest that plan or we neglect it and some other plan falls into place for us. Some less desirable plan falls into place for us. Some evil manifestation arrives and becomes our reality and surrounds us. And right now, we're in a great threat in such a different and more grandiose way than humanity's ever been under threat before. I mean, the last major threat for humanity was the Cold War, this nuclear arms race between Russia and the United States of America for 50 years after World War II. And before that, of course, it was literally World War II that was the greatest threat. But now we have so many other threats. We've still got the nuclear threat. We've got the massive economic threat because of the way our dollar is set up as the global reserve currency, but it's a fiat, fake money, not backed by anything from the Federal Reserve, with rampant inflation necessary and rampant debt necessary to prop itself up. So we have the economic threat, we have the nuclear threat, and then we have the artificial intelligence threat on top of the pharmaceutical threat, where we are drugged up and manipulated by psychological operations conducted by the deep state for the sake of hijacking the minds of humanity. And so, yes.
Coming in a moment, Trump is just on fire today. I didn't know about this. He's addressing Congress right now about the executive orders. We're going to probably go to that in a minute.
No,
you stay there. I'm going to be joining you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, but I'm working on the big developments right now. But in a minute, we're going to Trump's addressing Congress right now.
Absolutely. Has he started speaking yet, guys?
Not at Capitol One. He's in front of Congress.
Oh, right, he's now in front of Congress. Can we pull up that feed? We want to go to that as soon as possible. Thank you, guys. So anyway, great call, Tim. I appreciate you drawing my attention to that story. I hadn't heard that. We've had some incredible callers this afternoon. Really inspiring to be on the air with you. Let's go to Eric in Missouri while the crew finds Trump's address to Congress happening live now, and we'll air that as soon as we get it up. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I called right after I heard that truck driver call. I'm a truck driver also, and he made a lot of good, valid points. So there was a time when I was just waiting over here at a truck stop, and I started, you know, just shooting the shit. Just talking to another trucker. And he happened to be a Punjab. They called, you know, that's their culture, Indians, right? Punjabis. Yeah. And he told me that when he came, he got his asylum, right? But he didn't know what to do, so they told him, hey, why don't you start a trucking business? He got almost a $500,000 grant, and he still gets $12,000 a month as fuel grant.
Wow.
So what that does is that makes it so he could take basically whatever rates, driving the rates down, because, you know, he doesn't have to worry about his overhead. Right?
Yeah, he's handicapped, so he can totally outcompete the market.
Exactly. Now, on top of that, it's not just about, okay, now Americans or, you know, American truck drivers aren't being able to compete because we're not going to get grants. We're not going to get fuel grants or, you know, $100,000, $500,000, not even $50,000 as a grant. But think about how many foreigners are in charge of our commerce, of our freight, of our goods going across the country. Think about how many trucks are traveling around that, and he was right. I mean, 80 to 90% of truck drivers are, you know, Uzbekistan, Albanian, Ukrainian, you name it. And they do not respect our country. They do not respect, they don't even, like, I don't know if you've been out there, bro, but if you go out to a rest stop, a truck stop, you just see all the trash thrown out. Now, I've noticed a couple of old-time truck drivers, and they go out with their pickers and a bucket, and they try to help out. You know, if I see trash out there, I'm going to go pick it up. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it's only them. There's others that do it, you know, more of the younger groups. But just think about how many foreigners are in control of all of our goods and services. So if the establishment, if this deep state says, hey, you know what, we want to shut it down, you know what, don't take those, they're going to listen. They're going to say, okay, cool, we're not going to take it. Oh, get paid not to take this load of tomatoes or this load of meat. They're going to say, okay, sure, I'll get paid. I'll get paid not to take it. Americans are going to say, no, these people need it. They're going to take it, especially owner-operators. They're going to run these routes. They're going to run this load, right, because they know people need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's a metaphor, too. It's what you said about what's happening with the truckers and the trash is the same across the board with every industry. And we get accused by leftists and globalists of being xenophobic or anti-immigration. And they say, oh, but we're all descended from immigrants in the United States of America. Your ancestors immigrated here, too. Mine came over, for example, in 1893 from Switzerland.
Me, too. My grandma?
Yeah. But they assimilated. They came over here to be Americans, not to be the Swiss in America, not to be Albanian in America, not to be German in America or Chinese in America or Russia in America. They came here to become American, not just to become citizens of the United States of America. But when you have this fast-track BS to get into this country, then you have people that throw trash all over it.
And you know what? My best friend, he's Jamaican. My other best friend, he's Honduran. I mean, friends that are immigrants, they came here legally. They did it legally.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I've got close friends that are immigrants, too. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not a racist by any means. I'm a bigot to poor character. I'm a bigot to poor character. That's
100%.
It. I don't like poor character.
Yeah. Yeah. People call me xenophobic for saying Western civilization is the best, but where I come from, that's just called patriotism. Eric, thanks so much for your call. Ed in Pennsylvania. Ed, what's on your mind?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Chase.
Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Today was a monumental day. It was a beautiful speech, a wonderful ceremony. And I've got to say that I believe Jesus is my Savior and that I'm sorry, I'm a little choked up.
Oh, it's okay, buddy. Take your time.
Oh, dear. I think that the battle between good and evil is real. It's evident. And I'm just thankful that God has put us all here in this time to witness this struggle and battle. Thank you very much, Chase. I'm sorry. I'm a little flustered.
No, Ed, you did a great job. You can call anytime you want. I understand it's nerve-wracking and it's an emotional day for all of us. And it was perfectly timed because in this battle for good and evil, we do have Trump walking out right now with his beautiful wife, our first lady, Melania. Let's go to full screen and capture some of this audio, the applause. Walking slowly down the stairwell through a crowd of supporters, cheering, shaking his hand, capturing what they can on their cell phones instead of experiencing the event directly, which is a pet peeve of mine. But, I mean, the uproar is just astounding. It looks like he's got a binder in his hand that he's pointing to, presumably full of executive orders, maybe pardons, I'm hoping, for J6 so-called offenders. But he's approaching the stage right now with a large black binder. Melania right by his side, giving gestures of encouragement to the audience, waving, shaking his fist, as he's met with quite a pomp and circumstance. Bill Clinton used to joke, well, the difference between being president and not being president is that they don't play music when you walk into the room anymore, but now that Donald Trump is the 47th president of the United States, they're playing the music again. All right, here he is about to speak, folks.
still hard coded. We've got to take it out. It's okay. We'll just come back in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and have all the live coverage. Stay with us and share those live links now, now, now. Major news breaking. Former Troy just got shot and killed. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies are back in stock at the AlexJonesStore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates, which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C Gummies right now at the AlexJonesStore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting Vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with Vitamin C right now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Turmeric is back in stock. Now, this concoction of turmeric is amazing and extremely bioavailable because it's loaded with ginger root and black pepper extract. Now, you might remember Brain Force Plus or Brain Force Ultra. We loaded that capsule with black pepper extract to ensure that it was as bioavailable as possible, and we used the same exact approach with Ultimate Turmeric. Now, if you're somebody who loves bodies, wants to fight for your joint health, and fight against inflammation, then Ultimate Turmeric gummies are an amazing solution for you. Not only are they delicious, but they benefit your health. Now, I'm somebody who struggles with inflammation. After I spent some time at Eagle Pass, I could hardly walk because my ankle was so swollen from walking around the border and catching what the New World Order was sponsoring in terms of the invasion of our country by these migrants. Countless millions of migrants. Please go to the AlexJonesStore.com and experience the benefits of Ultimate Turmeric right now. Not only because it's amazing for your health and inflammation and your joints, but because by doing so, you're keeping InfoWars on the air, fighting for this crew, and ensuring that Alex Jones will always be on the air.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
We are unified by our spirit that God made and our connection to the Creator and the universe and our children. And this is the genesis point of the new revolution of information.
Always believe, and I will always say in public, that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
AlexJones.network. Is tomorrow's news today.
Central Standard Time. I myself and Chase and others will be in and out here live today. Trump is about to speak at the victory parade that they're now having indoors because of the weather and security. And then he's going to go over the executive orders and make some big announcements, he's saying. I was in the break room and saw Fox. And they were playing clips from him earlier, and it looked like, because the chyron they had about addressing Congress, that that's what was happening. But that's, I guess, later coming up in a few days. So made a mistake there. Always like to correct myself because I want to be accurate. So, wow. I am completely overwhelmed. I know a lot of you are as well. The stuff he said in his second inaugural speech, that was extremely powerful. On so many fronts, he hit every point, though I wish the speech was only 40 minutes. It could have been a lot longer, but he did an excellent job, and he means to do everything he said, so the policy was just excellent. And then he did that off-the-cuff, more hardcore, hour-long talk to another area in the Capitol, to supporters. And then now, he did that totally impromptu, because he heard there was an area with overflow. People were watching a lot of his new incoming staff, but also just fans. And now he's at the scheduled victory parade. And reportedly, this is going to be big meat and potatoes. On the 200 executive orders that we still don't have all the details on, we've gotten some of what he's going to do. Very smart to declare a national emergency. It is an emergency to dissolve borders and the Great Reset that we're fighting to totally reverse and repair, but the way the laws have worked, he isn't able to even get what he wants done statutorily to override previous presidents' emergencies unless he declares his. So a lot goes into that, and that's why the UN reauthorized a few months ago its bird flu emergency and its MPOX emergency. That was about them statutorily keeping all their globalist powers in place internationally. They've gotten countries to sign on to in full or partially, depending on the country. And I would hope as we restore our republic that they follow the War Powers Act again. And presidents don't launch wars without congressional approval. Trump, I was for that. And I would hope that we should push for stop ruling by emergency. But that's what's on the books. And the real emergency is how we have the sickest kids in the world and getting sicker, and that's by design. The real emergency is the totally open border and the human trafficking. If I'm disappointed by anything, and maybe I missed it, because we carried the full first address and most of the other one, and I went and looked like 10 minutes ago, I did not hear anything repeated that we have heard before from Trump a few times and Holman a bunch. And Holman's a straight shooter that, no, Trump's green lighting going after not just the low-level human traffickers, but all the way up to the NGOs, the nonprofits, the UN, and the federal government. That's an absolute must-do because, again, it's the law. It's the right thing to do. Find the children. Put the people that did it in prison so they don't do it again. And then bring down the globalists with that. Now, here is the breaking news. While they're still have the marching band before Trump speaks, as soon as he does, guys, I may not be looking at it. Just don't, if Trump gets up to speak, you just cut me off and go to him. I covered this some today, and I'm going to be harping on this in the days to come. And I know as regular listeners, you've already thought these same things because we're all on the same page. We all do the same amount of research pretty much. We're into the reality, but we have to keep repeating this because we have a lot of new listeners every second, millions and millions an hour. Now, by the grace of God and you spreading the word and Elon Musk, you know, supporting what we're doing by supporting free speech, we have to drill into how the globalists are going to try to strike back. They're going to do it through crises they create, crises they exacerbate, but you always know from what the former administration was hyping and what the media was hyping, they completely telegraph because they love to prepare the public mind for what they're going to do. And so the big ones are the Federal Reserve is going to try to block his agenda and not lower rates, but actually raise them. And they're going to have, obviously, bureaucrats inside the government sabotage and not, you know, follow through on the administration's policies. That's going to go on. Big cyber attacks blamed on Russia or some MAGA supporter. They've been doing that. Or power supply attacks. Use their bureaucracy and the different agencies and military to try to get a military crisis going. Some type of event like globalists on the border, say with Ukraine and Russia, shoot down an airliner, a European Union airliner, German airliner or something, or Romanian airliner, and then blame that on Russia. Stuff like that. False flag, military false flags. But the big one is trying to poison Trump. That way, they just say it's a health issue. They're going to be scared to outright kill him now as it turns him into a martyr. That won't work. So the poisoning is big. But the most pre-programming, the most setting the table I've seen, preparing the ground, is migrant protests with a bunch of Democrats and illegal aliens in L.A., in Denver, in Chicago, somewhere like that. And the left's all out there militant and saying they're going to get physical, and you know all the rest of it, as the mayor of Chicago just said. God, that Marxist-Leninist needs to be indicted. That's not free speech when you say you're going to physically oppose and call the public out to fight with the feds. I mean, that's definitely obstruction. And they're going to truck bomb or shoot a whole bunch of migrants and protesters. I mean, I feel it. I don't just intellectually see it. Folks know I'm pretty good at tracking what the enemy's doing, and there's so many data points I can't even explain why I know. I mean, I could give you 100 points I know consciously, but I'm just, it's their old plan if he won in 2020 and they weren't able to steal it, was they were going to go with the race conflict. And they said they would do it again this time if he got in. And I've listed all that and played the clips. I mean, just literally dozens of them I can think of. Carville and Raskin and all of them. Civil war conditions, we need uprisings, coming to kill the black people. And I think they'll hit the migrants or a pro-migrant demonstration with a mix of people who are citizens and migrant. That's 80% of the programming. But they keep hyping he's going to come kill the black people with just zero evidence, totally cockamamie. Why the hell would Trump do that? I mean, he doesn't dislike black people, plus he loves everybody in America. Who loves the country. And why would he do that out of a clear blue sky? No, the people telling you he's going to do that with just absolutely random no evidence are obviously the ones that stand to gain from it. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So this just happened in the last couple hours. Border agent reportedly shot dead in Vermont traffic stop as Trump sworn in. A Border Patrol agent in northern Vermont was fatally shot in the neck by what is reported to be an illegal immigrant. And they're just out of control, folks. Just after President Trump was being sworn in hundreds of miles in Washington on a promise to deem the border crisis a national emergency on his first day in office. And it goes on to say the border agent was shot while conducting a traffic stop. The shooter, who Bradley referred to as a visa overstay, was also reportedly killed. So that's thanks to the Biden administration and George Soros and the NGOs. Vermont public safety officials have issued a news release announcing the Interstate 91 at mile marker 168 is closed due to an evolving police incident. The location is near Newport, north of Burlington, near the Canadian border. Vermont officials have not released additional information on the incident. So here's another one. Border patrol agent shot and killed during traffic stop. It's Fox. U.S. border agent killed. Now, this is what we're talking about. In fact, guys, I meant to get the clip of the mayor, the jerk in Chicago ready. Border czar Tom Homan says raids on sanctuary cities to deport illegals may be paused after plan was leaked. And that's bad guys inside it's coming out. They still got leftists in there, and they're still talking to NGOs about where they're planning to hit and what they're planning to do, namely Chicago, as early as tonight. And that's good to be careful, because this is they're walking into a trap to brand all of what Trump's doing, trying to secure our nation and our borders, and even going after the human traffickers and the sex slavery. They need to... I mean, think about one person died in Charlottesville and they acted like it was the end of the world and blamed Trump. And in J6, they said seven cops died. No cops died. It's just that they will, and they call that worse than Pearl Harbor. I mean, you get a couple hundred illegal aliens shot at some anti-Trump rally, and they blame it on a Trump supporter and kill some patsy. It's going to be crazy, and they're going to activate the leftist groups, Antifa, the communists, and the Black Lives Matter to burn the country down. And when Trump tries to call the military out, they're going to call him a dictator. Then they'll hit us with the cyber attacks, the power outages, and God knows what. That's when they're going to make their move. But as long as we're aware of it and the public is looking for that, there's a good chance they won't try it. But we got to get this as a front burner issue. Nobody else is really making the point I'm making. This is as clear as the nose on my face. But if they do go ahead with it, people are aware of what's happening as well. So ICE prepares for violent situations during Trump immigration raids, former top official says. And so they're geared up knowing that's coming. Here is the whack job. I meant to play a clip of him last week where they go, you only have a 20-something% approval rating. He goes, well, that's because I'm so loved and it's so good and I'm so wonderful. I mean, the guy is just a lunatic. But you got a lot of other Democrat mayors saying the same thing, that, calling illegal aliens citizens and they let him vote in local elections, and, we're not going to let him do this. Here's the mayor.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is now threatening to arrest ICE agents if they attempt to deport illegal migrants.
I'm just saying, I'm offering to the people of Chicago, I'm going to stand up and protect the people of this city against every threat from this administration. And I hope the rest of the people in this room and the city of Chicago takes this threat as seriously as I do. Undermining public accommodations, going after undocumented people, it's a threat to our civility and to our democracy.
The Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is now claiming that he will arrest and prevent ICE agents if they attempt to deport illegal migrants from the city of Chicago. The mayor claims that they are citizens and that he will do anything to protect them.
So they use non-fire mitigation as a weapon. They use inflation as a weapon. They use fentanyl as a weapon. They need open borders, defunding the police as a weapon. And then, we'll play this "Why Are You So Unpopular" thing in a minute. And again, it's all meant to weigh down the carrying capacity of the civilization, demoralize people, make them give up. That's how you conquer a country, is by collapsing it from within. As Thomas Jefferson said, America could never be conquered from without. We would have to be rotted from within. Meanwhile, there's just so many takeaways from Trump today saying, Nancy Pelosi's a crook, blocked the National Guard for J6, probably, wanted it to happen, probably involved. I mean, he's really going after them now. Here's more from the, it'd be funny if he wasn't so dangerous, insane chipmunk or whatever he is, the mayor of Chicago. Here he is. Maybe that clip of the mayor of Chicago is not working, but I saw you got it, the one where he's stunned and doesn't know why nobody likes him. I must have lost audio. Well, we'll just stop here for a minute. we'll just stop here for a few minutes and relax and chill out. Let's go back to the parade for a little while here, and we'll come back.
Please welcome the Stewart's Creek High School Marching Band. Traveling all the way from Smyrna, Tennessee, they are proud to represent the volunteer state of the 2025 Presidential Inaugural Parade.
Second row. But you notice you don't ever hear from Jared Kushner. You don't ever hear Trump mention his name. Jared Kushner's weak. Jared Kushner tried to work with the establishment and was a major conduit of most of the problems of the Trump administration. And I can't wait to hear what Trump has to say. Idiot mayor who's part of the course of people like AOC and just these are the I haven't gotten to AOC. It's like a minute long. This is going to be fascism under Trump. This is going to be censorship and tyranny. Everything they did, no, using the National Guard, using the military, using the Border Patrol to arrest people that are here illegally, that are running around shooting and murdering, that have been dumped out of prisons around the world, is what the federal government is supposed to be doing. Federal government is supposed to issue the currency, guard the borders, and have a navy. Here, let's go to that club.
To the front again.
Hello. Thank you to the IOP for having this event. Thank you, Mayor Johnson, for being here. My name is Tyler Shasteen. I'm a third year studying economics and law, letters, and society. And in March, I was elected as the Republican committeeman for the 5th Ward of Chicago, which is where we're at today. I wanted to ask, it was brought up earlier, in 2023, you were elected a little over 52% of the vote in the mayoral race. But in the most recent poll of Chicago voters, that you had a 14% approval rating with a 70% disapproval rating. I know you mentioned that there's a lot of numbers that you care about and that you were pointing to things that you are talking about doing for the city. But in a democracy, what really matters is how the voters perceive your administration's work. So why are you so unpopular?
Well, I mean, look, you know, fortunately for me, that I'm not moved by polls. They're a snapshot at a point of time. Like, people have their expression and opinion of whether or not, you know, we should hire more young people. You know, people have an opinion on whether or not we should open up mental health clinics. Clearly, people have an opinion on whether or not we should, you know, stay to international and national law. That people have those opinions, you know, and, you know, I can say this emphatically. I was elected to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago. And I will stop at nothing to ensure that that happens.
He says nothing there. By the way, I just threw at the crew, hey, get that clip where he responds to criticism. That's not even the clip. There's one even worse. But it doesn't matter. The crew could never know how to find that in just 10 seconds. It was on last night's show, last night's list. I never got to it, but it's insane. But we do have the AOC clip. So here is AOC warning us of the impending fascism.
Well, we are on the eve of an authoritarian administration. This is what 21st century fascism is starting to look like. Republicans really model themselves after Orban's Hungary. And so you can look to see how Viktor Orban runs Hungary to get a taste of how they will try to govern and control media and companies in the United States. And this is a kind of an entree to that. As far as what we do, you know, this is a time of experimentation. A lot of people will still use platforms, can still use platforms. But I also look towards places where you have more ownership as well and develop your audiences there. Like Blue Sky, you own your audiences at protocol, decentralized protocol, newsletters, email.
So they've had total control of the media, social media, everything. And now because they don't like what they're hearing from everybody, because there's a little bit of freedom, they're running to their own little cult enclaves, which is what final stage cults do. Now, we're going to go as soon as Trump starts speaking here, reportedly unveiling these executive orders. And we'll also go back to more of your calls and more here today. But I just want to tell listeners something. None of this success we've had in the beginning of taking back our country and really freeing the world from the clutches of the globalist death cult could have been done without you. You supported this broadcast over the years that is recognized by the bad guys themselves as being the main detonator or progenitor of the Great Awakening we're now in. So all of you that have bought the products, all that you have shared the links, all that you have prayed for the broadcast, you're the reason I'm very thankful for you. We are in major legal battles with the deep state. They're starting to lose. Good things are happening. I've not spent a lot of time on InfoWars last few months. I've been focused on the big picture. But now that, you know, we're getting Trump in there and we've got to fight and, you know, track his administration and hold feet to the fire, all that, you know, we got more important work to do here. But now I can stop and say, we need funds. We make it easy. Great products at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, for whatever reason, because it came out first, months and months and months before the powdered ones, everybody loved what happened when you took the ultimate CMOS gummies that had the other superfoods concentrates in it as well, the strongest CMOS concentrate you're going to find with the bladder rack and the burdock root. It's the very best organic iodine, 90-plus vitamins and minerals, not just the essential ones, but other ones that are key. This is sold out because they've had issues, not issues, but it's just the manufacturing process is harder to make these. We have the powdered capsules in stock, and they're twice as strong. You get, what, 20 grams equivalent of CMOS in two gummies versus 40 with two capsules. And so these actually taste great. They're so strong, they drip with the concentrate in them. And I love them myself. My daughter takes them with my wife and the family. And the energy, the focus, the clarity is amazing. But the powdered CMOS is available at thealexjonesstore.com. And we're trying to get the great folks we're private and label it from to gear up. Because then that could really not just let us our funding issues, but get more money in to actually expand. We've also gone with our sponsor and built the Alex Jones Network as the backup, finishing a bigger studio. Regardless if InfoWars survives in the next month, then we'll just roll that into this operation. But it takes money to take on the globalist. You supported Trump. You made donations. You voted. You spoke out. You overpowered the globalist. If just a fraction more of you go, hey, I'm going to try the CMOS, or I'm going to try the ultimate turmeric, which goes together like a horse and carriage, I'm going to go to thealexjonesstore.com where they have a 25% off on top of all the sales today, just a one-day sale. I'm going to check out the widest selection of anti-globalist, pro-patriot, pro-human T-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies and sweaters. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to support folks that are fighting so hard for me. So I want to thank you all. We're in this together, but you need to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, as of this morning, I haven't checked since then, 65% of the 4,000 coins are sold out. Those 4,000 made. And I think it's the best. It's the sixth in the last 3 years commemorative coin we've put out, made right here in America, minted in Missouri. It's Battle for the Republic 2024. Trump and Butler fight, fight, fight. Commemorate the election victory and then the inauguration. You flip it over, 47th President of the United States, Donald John Trump, with his signature. And then it says January 20th, 2025. That is today. So this is historic. It funds our operation. It's a gorgeous coin. And hell, with the silver and the making it, the coin costs like $40 to make. So the markup of the, but now it's discounted today. So we make like $30 on it instead of, you know, $60. This isn't an investment like in silver. If you're buying silver for investment, you want to buy it at wholesale. This is an investment in this broadcast and the fight. But I've seen many cases of the coins, previous ones that weren't even as cool as this, selling for 2-3 times what they were worth because, I mean, what they were sold for, not what they were worth, because people want them and they're limited edition. This is very historic, put out by InfoWars, which is the progenitor of so much of what we're seeing now because you support it. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Get the coin now at thealexjonesstore.com while you still can. And our great sponsor is gearing up. You know, they haven't had the capital when they were building up, you know, in launching the site. And they would get 100 knives, and then they get 1,000 knives, and then now they're going to have to get 5,000 knives, and people want those badass limited edition knives. And once we get scaled up to that in the next month or so, because there's major demand for all these things, the problem is whatever there's a demand of always seems to be the thing we can't get enough of. So, yeah, we sold in the last 2 weeks 10,000 bottles of CMOS. The issue is it is a quality product, so you know a lot of the cost you see of it is the actual cost of making it. And so we have to sell quite a bit of it because especially with all the sales going, there's not a huge amount of profit. But if we sell a ton of it, we're going to have lots of money. And I will put almost all of it. I mean, sure, I'll pay my bills and stuff, but that's I don't spend that much money other than legal in the fight against the globalist. So I'm just giving you a report to my bosses out there who are backing us about what we're doing and what's happening. So get the coin, limited edition Battle for the Republic, Trump inaugural coin. And get the ultimate CMOS, the ultimate turmeric. And there's this new product that's kind of a greatest hits. It's got the turmeric concentrate. It's got the CMOS concentrate. It's got the echinacea concentrate. It's got a whole bunch of other concentrates that just supercharge your overall health, your vitality, your energy, and, of course, your immune system. And I have the name Atomic Defense. It's 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, Trump should be speaking soon. But we've got more of the bands and more of this Americana. But in his first big speech today, he said America's back. We're not going to be demoralized. We're open for business. They've artificially shut us down. They want to make you poor so they can control you, which is all true. And the public finally understands that and finally gets it. And they're about to see Trump bust his ass to deliver on everything he says he's going to do. And this is just amazing. Absolutely amazing time to be alive. Well, we're waiting for Trump to go up and speak. Let's go ahead and take a few more calls. We're going to talk to Steve, James, and Kurt, and then that'll be it for calls today on this broadcast. And then 8 a.m. tomorrow, Harrison Smith. All the stuff happening tonight. What's going to happen with the J6? Better be a full pardon. And you've got all the executive orders that are coming out. This is going to be, as I said yesterday, a roller coaster. All right, James in Pennsylvania. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Alex Jones.
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Congratulations to all of the InfoWars. Here we are at the precipice of the moment. This is what we've been enduring for 8 years. The first Trump presidency was mullied by their BS. And here we are. And he's angry. You see by that presidential portrait, he's pissed off. And we are here to take names and kick ass, brother. Alex, congratulations. We've done it, brother.
Ah! Yeah.
Woo. Oh, my God, dude. You woke me up 15 years ago. I was destitute. I would not be here I am today without you and Donald Trump and Owen Schwerer and Harrison Smith and Chase and everyone, man. Thank God. Thank God for the Infor. Here we are, brother. This is it. This is it. With Elon Musk, everyone's on board, brother. Here we are. I'm so excited.
Yeah, and for people that can't believe we're winning, the globalist depopulation world collapse plan is what they were really doing. We finally got into it some, as I said, for decades. When they go from Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030 in 2000, that's how I knew some virus was coming in 2000. They said, we'll probably use a virus disease X at the UN. And the Rockefeller Foundation and John Hopkins, and then they tell you what they're going to do. Fauci said, oh, don't worry, Trump will be hit by a big pandemic. It will bring in our new system. And it blew up in their face, and people finally went, holy hell, we really got evil people out to get us. We better do something. It's always darkest before the dawn, my friend, but we're just starting to see the very first light on the horizon. We've still got quite a way to go, but, man, we're going in the right direction.
We are. And it's unfortunate that Sleepy Joe Biden was able to pardon his frat boy Fauci. Unfortunately, state rights supersede federal rights, and Texas and Florida and Pennsylvania, and everyone is coming for you, Fauci. We all have a nice cell ready for you. And,
well, that's
and
right. That's right.
So.
That's right. And it's and again, it's not going to be like fake charges at the state level like Trump had on him. This is going to be real charges in the public once they know who the bad guys are. Thanks for the call. Steve, thank you, sir. Steve in Alaska. Let's go north to Alaska. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, buddy. Anyways, yeah, it is a great day today with Trump getting in office, but Trump has a way to nullify all of those pardons. And you got to remember, you have to be of sound mind and body in order to make any legal binding contract. And Joe Biden is not of sound mind. And why nobody's considering that fact, especially after some of the more recent videos have come out. What is it, Speaker Johnson talking about?
I was about to say Speaker Johnson, for people that didn't know about that. Why don't you tell people what just came out?
Yeah, Speaker Johnson was basically trying to get a meeting with Biden and finally got a meeting with him. And then they cleared the room out, just shorter version of it. And in that video, he basically talks about how Biden signed an executive order over some natural gas exports to stop him. And he's like, no, I didn't sign that. I signed one for this other thing, some study about natural gas. And, you know, at the end of the video, he starts talking about Biden's decline and about how he's not been in charge and how he doesn't seem to know what he's doing. I mean, we all know that, and this isn't to pick on him, you know, I mean, I don't like the guy, but that's because of the decisions he's made or let them made. But in the end, he's definitely not of sound mind and body now that he's on his way out. They're all talking about it. And that gives Trump the opening, the legal opening, to actually reverse all of the pardons. The only one
absolutely. I mean, let's be clear. Banning natural gas, liquid natural gas sale, our second biggest export, is totally insane. And they did that over a year ago, and then Biden didn't even know he'd done it. So, again, this just shows that is a criminal cabal. They didn't just steal the election. They then put a puppet in so that no one would know who was actually in charge doing these highly destructive economic warfare operations against our country and our people.
Yep, and like I said, you know, the clear path forward with that and is to basically go through all of his executive orders, go back through all of his pardons and nullify all of them because he is not of sound mind and he cannot make any legally binding decisions, and his decisions that he has made are not enforceable. Because
good point. Thank you, Steve. God bless you. All right, Kurt in Pennsylvania. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Kirk and Tyler from Pennsylvania here. God bless you, Alex, and God bless America. It's a great day to be an American. But we were just wondering, with some of the conflicts with China, like them potentially trying to take Taiwan, their role in the whole Panama Canal thing, and the tariffs, are there going to be any potential conflicts that we have to worry about, and how can Trump mitigate those potential conflicts?
Well, he can do it by being strong and also offering detente, and that's what he's going to do. So he's going to try to shut down the wars in the Middle East, shut down the Ukraine war, and shut down conflict with China. But at the same time, all this stuff we've given away under globalist treason, he's going to take back. And then through economic deals, he says, I'll take Greenland. And, of course, they roll over and say, no, we want your investment. We want you here. And then we don't lose the military bases. So this is going to be a classical American-type system. Where our economic power speaks for itself and where it isn't set up where middlemen. I mean, Trump pointed this out. China wasn't even getting a lot of the money from the sellout of America, and American people weren't getting any of this deal. It was all basically middlemen that were getting most of the profit to then buy up the rest of the infrastructure, which is what globalism was. So, and notice that Trump took the lead of shutting down those bad deals with China. Now the whole world's pulling out of the exclusivity with, you know, manufacturing in China. So this is about balance basically being restored, and it's very exciting. Anything else, Kurt?
No, that's all. I was just wondering about what the potential conflicts could look like, because he already had the ceasefire with Israel, and that seemed pretty good, but I was just worried about new wars arising. But
well, you could have a different international globalist group stage some crisis between North and South Korea. You could have China could go crazy and do some expansionary move into Taiwan. Russia is an expansionist. They still people on their borders. So that's a good question. Thank you so much. All right, they're about to introduce Trump. We've been waiting for this. Big news reportedly coming on the executive orders. Hopefully it's J6, total pardon. Let's go to this live feed.
And I'd like to describe to you some of the things we're doing and how it informs on President Trump's policies. First of all, it is an honor to stand before you today as I reflect on the enormity of the role that President Trump has tasked me with. I am constantly reminded of the privilege it is to serve under the leadership of my boss, President Donald J. Trump. His presidency has provided a clear, bold vision for the Middle East, and it is this vision that guides every step I take in the mission. President Trump's leadership has redefined what is possible in the pursuit of progress and stability in the Middle East. His decisive, pragmatic approach ensures that even the most entrenched conflicts are met with fresh perspectives and innovative strategies. His policies have already delivered remarkable successes, such as yesterday's release of hostages in Gaza. Thank you. This achievement demonstrates the strength of President Trump's leadership and the respect he commands on the global stage. It is yet another example of his ability to deliver results in the most complex and challenging situations. The Abraham Accords, a testament to his vision and determination, have also brought historic progress to the region, transforming old rivalries into new alliances. These agreements are not merely symbolic. They represent a practical roadmap for peace, economic cooperation, and mutual respect across nations. My role, as President Trump has tasked me, is straightforward yet profoundly challenging: to turn his vision into actionable outcomes. He sets the agenda, he lays the framework, and he inspires people like me into bold action. My responsibility is to implement his vision, engaging with leaders across the region to find pathways towards sustainable peace and stability. And let me tell you, having Donald Trump as a boss makes this task not only possible, but far more effective. President Trump's reputation as a leader who delivers results resonates far beyond Washington. Leaders in the Middle East know he means what he says. His ability to cut through bureaucratic gridlock and focus on tangible results is the game changer. It allows me to approach delicate negotiations with the confidence that the full weight of the United States is behind me. The principles President Trump has laid out for our approach to the Middle East and foreign policy in general are fourfold, and they are clear. One, respect for sovereignty. Every nation deserves the right to determine its own destiny, free from the interference of external powers. Two, economic prosperity as a bridge to stability. Through economic partnerships and investment, we can build a foundation for cooperation that transcends historical grievances. Three, courageous diplomacy. Real progress requires difficult conversations and bold decisions, and it is through these that trust is built and maintained. And finally, 4, reciprocity and accountability. The United States requires reciprocal actions from our partners.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen a lot of pomp and circumstance. There's speakers right now introducing Donald Trump and saying all the appropriate, polite things about what's going to happen with this agenda and these prepared speeches. But as soon as Donald Trump takes the stage, we're going to be going straight to him. When he walked in for this post-inaugural event, he was carrying a large black binder, presumably full of things like executive orders or pardons for J6 so-called offenders. We actually have a report here from Unusual Wills. Donald Trump to sign 200-plus executive orders tomorrow. Of course, this came out yesterday. Donald Trump prepares for second term key policies promises for day one. President-elect Donald Trump is poised to return to the White House with his inauguration set for today. Of course, it happened. And he's promised things like mass deportations and border closures, ending birthright citizenship, pardons for J6 defendants, tariffs on Canada and Mexico, ending the Russia-Ukraine war, preventing the escalation of World War III, rolling back environmental policies, green cards for college graduates, Jack Smith and legal proceeding updates as well. And it's all going to unfold right before our eyes. I think what we're going to see from Donald Trump is more action in the first 30 days. In the first 4 weeks of his presidency than we saw from Joe Biden in the first 4 years of his. This is not somebody who is a puppet who obeys the orders or commands of the globalists at the top or the elite of the highest levels of the political class. He's not someone who is subject to the world bankers or international interests, extranational interests, rather, those interests which exist exclusively outside the interests of the United States of America. We are ending the reign of post-World War II globalism less than 100 years after the end of World War II, and we are beginning the reign of the 21st century's national sovereignty, populist movement, total awakening, Pax Trumpana. And as Harrison and I were discussing earlier, what we need to be concerned about, what we need to be aware of, is the fact that as a nation, we have arrived at a place where the executive branch is astronomically powerful. And this is not something that's Trump's fault by any means. It's the fault of all of our leadership over the course of the last 50 or even 100 years, going back to the establishment of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And because our executive branch is astronomically powerful, the health of this nation swings massively from very healthy to very sick and desperate, depending on who the president of the United States is. We had an incredible period of time between 2016 and 2019. The globalists attacked us with COVID and then the vaccines. Then from 2021 to 2024, we had a terrible time under President Biden. And now we have President Trump back. But in 2028, if we elect a bad president again, then all of the progress that we make over the course of the next 4 years will be totally moot. A temporary vacation from the hellscape that we have manufactured through our political class. So what we should ask or demand or beg or pray for in this Trump administration is not only that all the right decisions be made and policies be enacted, but that the system itself be fundamentally shifted, evolved into something more sustainable for an extended period of time, something that can actually resist the whims of a political class that is destined, determined to eradicate the interests of the American people, to sacrifice the American people, to sacrifice humanity itself for the sake of their own power, for the sake of their own bottom line, selling us out on a whim so they're going to have disproportionate gains in their stock portfolio investments as they legalize their own insider trading. And we're going to see people go up and give speeches and talk about how great Trump is and just totally kiss his ass. And we're going to see from the Zuckerbergs and the Bezoses and the Bill Gateses and the other globalist elites, even the Alex Soroses, how they're just going to stroke his ego and attempt to flatter him and flatter him and flatter him because they believe that he is leading based off of vanity or some superficial motive. But it's not true. He's leading for the sake of his legacy, which one could say is vain, but it isn't in his case, in Trump's case, because it's about conscience. Something these globalists know nothing of. Something the Alex Soroses and the Bill Gateses and the George Soroses know nothing of. They haven't tasted conscience since their youth, if they even had it then, a conscience. And so he's not going to fall for it. He's not going to fall for the vanity and the flattery. He doesn't care anymore because he dodged a bullet and he saw the face of God. And so we as a nation need to realize that what Trump experienced in Butler, Pennsylvania, dodging of a bullet and seeing the face of God, seeing the hand of God, is also what we as an American population experienced. We also dodged the bullet of globalism with this election. We should also recognize the face of God, recognize the hand of God, and turn away from superficiality and vanity and flattery in worldly things to something transcendent, something divine, something enlightened. We should realize that just as Donald Trump had a shift in Butler, Pennsylvania in that miraculous day, we too should have a shift. A deepened faith in God the Creator, a deepened faith in Western civilization and all that is good in human life and value and innovation. And the astronomical goals which we exceed generation after generation, the astronomical obstacles we face generation after generation and survive, you realize that if you draw breath today, there are hundreds of thousands of years of your ancestors surviving ice ages, surviving war and rape and famine. You realize that everything inside of you, the listener, the info warrior, is genetically designed to survive the most difficult of circumstances, whether it's world war after world war, whether it's famine after famine, disease after disease, plague after plague, war after war, rape after rape, pillaging after pillaging. You have it all in your genetic code, lying dormant, ready to survive even the most difficult things we could possibly face, the most existential of threats. And right now, it's time for us as Americans to activate those dormant genes, to activate the will to thrive and correct the system.
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you. So now the work begins. We won, but now the work begins. We have to bring them home. And, you know, tonight I'm going to be signing on the J6 hostages, pardons, to get them out. And as soon as I leave, I'm going to the Oval Office and we'll be signing pardons for a lot of people, a lot of people. And thank you to Steve Witkoff. He's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He's been a very successful man. He's a great negotiator. He's a wonderful guy. People love him. And he's got a tremendous power of persuasion, and that's what we need. We don't need stiffs. We don't need stiffs. We got a lot of stiffs. You just had a whole load of them. And to the former hostages with us today, welcome. Welcome home. Some of the folks are former hostages. Not a good situation. The three young ladies that came home yesterday, you saw that. More coming home every day now. They're coming home. But they were hurt. They were hurt. They were hurt. One had her head blown off. Fingers on her hand, and her hand indeed was blown off. She was trying to defend herself from a bullet being fired. Do you believe this? A bullet knocked off her hand. I don't know. You look at it, it's a disgrace. We never stopped praying for you, and we're so glad that you're reunited with your friends and families, and God bless you all. And some of them are just saying, no, my son is gone, but please just bring home his body. Right, Steve? Any of you have told me that your son is gone, but bring home his body. It should have never happened. 3 years, it's ridiculous. Should have never happened. Wouldn't have happened. I also want to express my tremendous gratitude to the hundreds of thousands of proud American patriots who came from all across the country to join us in this celebration. It's a celebration of a big win. And you're witnessing the dawn of the golden age of America. That's what it's going to be. We're bringing it back. We're going to bring it back fast. We're going to bring it back fast. Let us also thank the incredible service members, National Guardsmen, Police, Secret Service, and law enforcement personnel who are keeping us all safe, even though they are great people. New York's finest. I grew up with New York's finest, and we got to give them their authority back. You won't have any crime. There'll be no crime. You give them little authority back. The whole way they run things in this country now, it's disgraceful. But it's going to change rapidly. We're going to make our city safe again, too. Even though we're indoors, we've had a magnificent inaugural parade. And let's give a big round of applause. They were great. To all of the incredible performers and hardworking men and women who made it possible. Those people. Really talented, amazing people. I also want to thank my wonderful family for being here, especially my beautiful wife, our First Lady, Melania. They love our First Lady. And also, J.D. How good has J.D. been? And his beautiful wife, Usha. How good is J.B.? J.D. has been great. He's another good negotiator, Steve. He's a great negotiator, too. We need negotiators in this country. But so many of the people on the stage behind, not only family members, as an example, Lara Trump, the wife of Eric. She was the head of the Republican Party along with my friend Michael. Stand up, the two of you. What a job. What a job they did. They worked so hard. They knew they'd be rigging, but they said, we're going to make it too big to rig, and we did. We made it too big to rig. We won every swing state by a lot. We won the popular vote by millions and millions of votes. We won the whole ball of wax. And now we're going to go and drill, baby, drill, and do all the things that we've wanted to do and bring your costs down, your prices down, and make our country safe. So thank you very much, Michael. Thank you very much. What a job you've done, Michael. I'm never moving you, you know. He was thinking about getting a nice job in the administration. I said, no, I'm leaving you right where you are. You've done a very good job. We're not moving you, Michael. I'm sorry. Anyway, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Right here with us also in the arena, I'm about to sign some very important executive orders of our new administration. Hey, Don, will you stand up, please? Don is another one. How about Don? This guy. He's a popular one. He goes out and speaks. He gets a big crowd. He's a little on the rough side sometimes, but that's what you want. He's done a fantastic job, and he loves our country. Thanks, Don. Great job. You've done a great job. And Ivanka. And, you know, Jared negotiated the Abraham Accords, which are the biggest. It's the biggest deal made in the Middle East in many, many years, and it's really something. Jared, stand up, Jared. The Abraham Accords. And Tiffany's going to have a little baby. And Michael. And then I have a very tall son named Baron. Has anyone ever heard of him?
Thank you. He knew the youth vote. You know, we won the youth vote by 36 points. And he was saying, Dad, you got to go out and do this one and that one. And we did a lot of them. And he respects them all. He understood them very well. And he said, Dad, you got to go out, do Joe Rogan, do all these guys. And we did. We did. And Joe Rogan was great. They were all great, right, Aaron? They were all good. He understood the market. Another famous one. How about Kai? Stand up, Kai. Is that Byron Donalds back there? Stand up, Byron. Stand up. What a future this one has. What a future. That's great, Byron. Thank you very much. And how about Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce? He's going to take in more money than any country has ever even thought about. He's going to take in some money. And we have many others. Look, I'm not going to go through it, but we're going to sign some orders right now, and that's really what I want to do. So we're going to sign executive orders. First, I'll revoke nearly 80 destructive and radical executive actions of the previous administration, one of the worst administrations in history. Maybe the worst. Anybody that would allow millions of people to pour through our borders from jails, prisons, mental institutions, insane asylums, gang members to be taken off the streets of Venezuela and deposited in our country, and many, not just Venezuela. You know, crime in Venezuela is down 74% because they took their criminals and gave them to us through an open border policy of the previous administration. All over the world, they're emptying their prisons into our country. They're emptying their mental institutions into our country. It stops as of 1 o'clock this afternoon. Okay? It stops. So I'm revoking nearly 80 destructive, radical executive actions of the previous administration. They'll all be null and void. Within about, 5 minutes? Is that them over there? 5 minutes? And next, to gain immediate control of the vast federal out-of-control bureaucracy, I will implement an immediate regulation freeze, which will stop Biden bureaucrats from continuing to regulate. Most of those bureaucrats are being fired. They're gone. Should be all of them, but some sneak through, but we have to live with a couple, I guess. I'll also issue a temporary hiring freeze to ensure that we're only hiring competent people who are faithful to the American public. And we will pause the hiring of any new IRS agents. We will also require that federal workers must return to the office in person. And we're going to take the 88,000 people that they hired to go after you with guns, by the way, they're allowed to use guns, and harass you like they were so many other people. Remember this. Okay, remember? Do you remember a little statement about tips? Does anybody remember that little statement? I think we won Nevada because of that statement. But they went out and harassed you over the tips. In other words, we are restoring control of our government to the people. We're going to take those 88,000. Let's see if they'd like to work on the border, because that's what we want them really in there. So we're going to have no tax on tips, right? No tax on tips. And we may have, like the Speaker of the House, is he here? He's done such a good job. Is Mike here? He's around here someplace. I saw him just a little while ago. Hello, fellas. Look at you guys. Yeah, I know it. He's great. He's doing great. They're all doing good. The Republican Party has never been unified like it is right now. They want to save our country. And we're going to more than save it. We're going to make it greater than it's ever been before by a lot. Next, I'm going to sign a presidential memorandum directory directing every member of my cabinet to marshal every power at their disposal to defeat inflation and rapidly bring down the cost of daily life, because your costs have gone through the roof in the last 4 years. Perhaps you didn't notice. Does anyone notice their costs are like double, triple, quadruple? You can't buy bacon. Apples have doubled in price. You want an apple, anybody? Pay twice what you did 2 years ago. We'll put more money in your pocket, and we'll bring back the American dream and to reduce energy costs and liberate our economy. So we have more oil and gas than any country in the world, and we're going to use it. We're not going to do the wind thing. Big ugly windmills, they ruin your neighborhood, they ruin you. If you have a house that's near a windmill, guess what? Your house is worth less than half. And did you see up in New England with the whales? You see what's happening? So they had two whales killed in about 14 years. Last year and the year before, total, they had 28. So if you're into whales, you don't want windmills either. And they're the most expensive form of energy that you can have by far. And they're all made in China, by the way. Practically all of them. And they kill your birds and they ruin your beautiful landscapes. But other than that, I think they're quite good, right? Now, remember when we used to joke and kid when we were kidding, but we don't kid anymore. They want to watch the debates on television. They want to watch your favorite president on television. But the wind isn't blowing, so we can't watch television that night, Gladys. Remember? Gladys, I'm sorry, the wind is just not blowing. We're not watching Trump tonight. But I'm immediately withdrawing from the unfair, one-sided Paris Climate Accord ripoff. The United States will not sabotage our own industries while China pollutes with impunity. You know, China, I mean, look, they use a lot of dirty energy, but they produce a lot of energy. And when that stuff goes up in the air, you know, it doesn't stay there. It's not like you got a wall. We love walls, don't we? Not like you have a wall around and it doesn't. It floats into the United States of America after 3.5 to 5.5 days. It floats across the oceans and it comes right over your neighborhood and it falls into your neighborhood. So they all say, we have to fight for cleaner air, but the other dirty air is dropping all over us. So what the hell are they talking about? Unless everybody does it, it just doesn't work. You know, we had the cleanest air and the cleanest water that this country's ever had under the Trump administration. And we didn't do anything to stop jobs and stop production. Believe me, you're going to see a lot of companies come pouring back because tariffs. I always say tariffs is the most beautiful word to me in the dictionary. Then I was reprimanded by the fake news. They said, what about love, religion, and God? I said, I agree. Let's put God number one. Let's put religion number two. Love, I don't know. We got to put that number three, I guess, right? And then it's tariff. Because tariffs are going to make us rich as hell. It's going to bring our country's businesses back that left us. And I'll also sign an executive order to immediately end federal government censorship of the American people. In America, we believe in free speech. And we're bringing it back starting today to stop the weaponization. Oh, do I know about that, these creeps. Deranged Jack Smith. You ever hear of him? Deranged. He's a deranged prosecutor. He's sick. They suck him on me. He's now been reduced to getting on an airplane, going back to The Hague or wherever the hell he came from. We got to get rid of that guy. Hey, was he one of the many people that got a pardon today? Did they pardon Jack Smith? You know, did you know that Biden, while I was making my speech, pardoned his whole family? The brother, the whole deal was pardoned. Can you imagine that? While I was making my speech. Did everybody hear my speech? Did you like my speech? Thank you. I mean, the only thing wrong with it is I had a lot of tough things to say, and I have some great people that work for me. Sir, this is such a great speech. It's so unifying. Don't talk about Biden with his pardons of his family. We want a unified country. They said, don't talk about the J6 hostages that you're going to be releasing today. Sir, don't put that in your speech, please. I said, but I want to put it in my speech. I said, sir, it won't be unified like it is. It's so beautiful the way it is. And it is getting great reviews. You know, if I put things like that in, I'll get terrible reviews. One little paragraph that's a little bit wrong, the fake news goes crazy, right? So I said, all right, I won't put it in my speech, but you know what? I'm speaking in front of a hell of a lot of people at a place called Capital One Arena, and I'll talk about it there. So we're going to be going over to the beautiful Oval Office, one of the great offices in history. Even if it wasn't beautiful, it's the Oval Office, but it is beautiful. And we love the Oval Office. It all starts with the wars start and end there. Everything starts and ends at the Oval Office. We love it. But we're going to go to the Oval Office. We're going to sign. We're going to release our great hostages that didn't do, for the most part, they didn't do stuff wrong. You take a look at what went on. And look what happens in other parts of the country. In Portland, where they kill people, they destroy the city. Nothing happens to them. In Seattle, where they took over a big chunk of the city, nothing happened. Minneapolis, where they burned down the city, nothing happened. Essentially, nothing happened. All they want to do is go after the J6 hostages. A 76-year-old grandmother was arrested the other day because she was looking, I think because she was looking at the Capitol or something like that. No, we're not going to put up with that crap anymore. And to stop the weaponization of law enforcement, I've been investigated more than any human being in the world. I believe I have the all-time record. Every day a subpoena, subpoena. Every single day we'd get subpoenas. I was more than any person. Alphonse Capone, remember I used to talk about it? Now, Alphonse Capone, Scarface, he was a pretty rough guy. He was investigated about 1/100th what Trump was investigated. My father's looking down at me, my mother. How the hell did this happen? You know what it is? They investigated their political opponent, the opponent of Biden, and then ultimately Kamala. Has anyone ever heard of Kamala? We had to beat two opponents, you know? We had to beat Biden, and we beat him. Now he goes on top. The guy was like 39 points down. I think I could have beaten Trump. They should have left me, and I would have beaten. Now, his debate performance wasn't the best, right? That's what killed him. And then they had a change, and it's like you get into a fight. The great Dana White spoke last night. We love Dana White, right? UFC. That's like he puts in two fighters. One of them's getting creamed, getting really beaten, and they say, all right, take him out. Let's put somebody else in to finish up the fight. That's what they did to us. They gave us somebody new, but we took care of both of them. So we beat actually two. We beat actually two opponents. But to stop the weaponization of law enforcement and our government, I will also sign an order directing every federal agency to preserve all records pertaining to political persecutions under the last administration, of which there were many, and beginning the process of exposing any and all abuses of power, even though he's pardoned many of these people. Can you believe it? He's pardoned them. You know why he did it while I was speaking? Because that way I couldn't speak about it. I was speaking. I didn't know he did it. I finished my speech, and they said, sir, he pardoned his whole family. I said, oh, can I go back out there and talk about it? Somehow that wouldn't be very elegant. Our first lady would say, please don't do that. But we have plenty of time to talk about it, and we will. We're doing all of this on our very first day in office. You know, don't forget, we've been in this position, really, where we won the primaries in record time. We were the fastest win of a primary ever in political history, which is a very nice thing. It's nice to know. Well, the second election was rigged, so we knew we were doing well. And if it wasn't, you know what? If it wasn't, I would have never run. But the third one was just a monster. Boy, was that a big one, huh? That was a big one. On the second one, we got like 10 or 12 million votes more than the first one. How about that? We did great on the first one. We did much better on the second one. But bad did we do well on the third one. So we're gonna have some fun. It's very simple. We're going to make our country great. We're going to make our country great again. We're going to make America great again. How good a name is MAGA, though, right? You know? I was going to say keep America great, but unfortunately it wasn't great. Can't say keep it great. It will be great again, but CAG, keep America great, CAG. I don't think it's ever going to replace MAGA. Does anybody like CAG? I don't think so. Never replacing MAGA. Nothing will ever replace MAGA. MAGA was the most successful political operation, political movement in the history of our country, maybe in the history of the world. Let's see what happens. Because we're not finished yet. We're not finished yet. We got a long way to go. But we're doing this on the very first day in office, and in just a few moments, I'm not only signing the release of the J6 hostages, I'm signing other things that you're going to love. Oh, you're going to be happy reading newspapers tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. So I just want to thank, look at this place. It's full to the rafters. You don't have any. Look at those people up there. You don't have any empty seats. And by the way, the Capital One owners, they are so good. We got to root for their teams because they have been so great to MAGA, to us. And I just want to thank Ted and everybody. You guys have been fantastic. And the ice hockey team's doing great. Ovechkin's pretty good, right? They're doing great. So I want to thank them, Capital One Arena owners. They have been absolutely fantastic. And thank you once again to everyone. And I can only tell you, you're going to be very happy. You're going to watch a lot of good things happen. We got to stop some wars that are happening and going on. Some stupid things are happening. The war with Ukraine would have never happened, and it has. As you know, Israel would have never been hit on October 7th. And none of you would be up here. None of you would even know anything about this tragedy that you're going through right now. But Iran was broke. Anybody that bought oil from Iran, they couldn't do any business with us. You're not going to do business with America. China passed. Everybody passed. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. And your sons would be alive, and they certainly wouldn't be incarcerated like they are. It's a shame. But we're getting a lot of people out in a short period of time. So I'm going to go right over to here, and I'm going to sign in front of you. Is that okay? Good.
Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, shaking hands as he approaches the table that was set up earlier today to sign some of these executive orders right before our eyes.
Do you have that other one to sign? Do you have the other one to sign?
We don't have it over here yet, so we'll have it put back here.
The first is the rescissions of 78 Biden-era EOs and presidential memoranda.
You want to call it off? You want to say it? You want to say it?
Oh, if you want me to, sir.
Why don't you say what I'm signing?
Sure. The first item that President Trump is signing is the rescission of 78 Biden-era executive actions, executive orders, presidential memoranda, and others.
Incredible. And just like that, everything changes. The pen is mightier than the sword.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And he actually knows what he's signing.
The second item, President Trump, is a regulatory freeze, as you announced in your speech, preventing bureaucrats from issuing any more regulations until we have full control of this, the government and this administration. Next item, sir, is a freeze on all federal hiring, excepting the military and a number of other excluded categories, again, until full control of the government is achieved and we understand the objectives of government going forward.
Could you imagine Biden doing this? I don't think so.
Sir, the next item, as you announced in your speech, is a requirement that federal workers return to full-time in-person work immediately. Thank you, sir. Next, we have a directive to every department and agency in the federal government to address the cost of living crisis that has cost Americans so dearly. Thank you, sir. The next item here is the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Treaty. Yes, sir. We're going to save over $1 trillion by withdrawing from that treaty. And the next item, sir, is a letter that will be transmitted to the United Nations explaining that we are withdrawing from the Paris Climate Treaty. Thank you, sir. This next item is a directive to the federal government ordering the restoration of freedom of speech and preventing government censorship of free speech going forward. And lastly, sir, before we go back to the Oval Office to sign a large number of other items, is a directive to the federal government ending the weaponization of government against the political adversaries of the previous administration, as we've seen.
Unbelievably historic moment.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
people, not the political class. Instead of giving the pens out as favors to the Lindsey Grahams and others to hang up in their congressional offices and being thrown to the audience. Trump is exiting the stage, waving to the enthused audience, exiting with Melania to go back to the Oval Office and sign the pardons that he promised he would sign for the J6 offenders. We do have Alex Jones coming back in studio to report on some breaking news and the latest developments regarding these executive orders and other actions of this administration on this inauguration day. And let's notice the difference between what we're witnessing, what we're experiencing in the United States of America right now, and what we have historically experienced on inaugurations. Where for years and years, every 4 years, it was pomp and circumstance and parades and fireworks and celebration. But now we have Donald Trump immediately getting to work, actually doing the job of the President of the United States. Where over the course of Joe Biden's presidency, he spent somewhere between 20 and 50% of his time on vacation at the beach snoozing. We now have a president who has done more in the last 3 hours than Joe Biden has done in the last 3 years, who's made more executive decisions of his own accord without the sickness of Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever the hell Joe Biden's got than Joe Biden was able to accomplish in his entire presidency. And he put out an ad yesterday about his legacy, where he had to have some other talking head proclaim all of the great accolades of his administration because he's incapable of putting a sentence together himself. He couldn't record his own legacy message to the American people. But he will go down in history as the worst president in history of the United States of America. And I don't say this out of any bitterness or resentment or because I disagree with everything that he believes. I say it because it's an objective fact observed by an American who has lived under the administration that is the Joe Biden administration, where there was political persecution after political persecution, prosecution after prosecution, undermining after undermining of all the interests of the American people. For 4 years straight, inflation was absolutely out of control. Gas prices up, price of eggs up, grocery prices up, bankruptcies up 20% year over year. Value of the dollar way down, housing up, unaffordable. War after war, billions upon billions of dollars sent to conflict after conflict the United States had no business in being involved in, all while Secretary Blinken played Keep on Rockin' in the Free World in Kiev. We just went from the brink of nuclear war to the dawn of a new renaissance, to the dawn of a new American golden age by the stroke of a pen right before our eyes. I've never seen anything like it. What we have witnessed over the course of the last 12 months, 18 months, 24 months is miracle after miracle after miracle leading to this moment. First, it was when Elon Musk bought Twitter and turned it into X. Then we have the reinstatement of accounts like Alex Jones's and the InfoWars accounts on major social media platforms, allowing for freedom of speech and truth to be broadcast worldwide, all because of your support over the last 4 years while we endured hell eking by trying to stay on air. Then after that, there was the debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, where Donald Trump absolutely obliterated Biden to the point where he was forced out via coup of his own race after he had already gotten the necessary delegates to win the primary. Then there was the first assassination attempt thwarted by the hand of God himself in Butler, Pennsylvania. Then there was another assassination attempt thwarted by Secret Service, by the Ryan Routh MK Ultra entity that eked into a bush outside of, what was it, Mar-a-Lago? And then there was finally the defeat of Kamala Harris, who was only the candidate by coup, by no vote whatsoever, despite the fact that the leftist machine, the globalist machine, cheated in every way possible in the same exact way as 2020, but this time not victorious because justice was too big to rig. Truth was too big to rig. Populism, national sovereignty, was too big to rig. And now, by some miracle, we have seen the safe inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, the 47th President of the United States of America, who has just now undone so much of the brutality and crass injustice of the Biden administration, which preceded his. Now we see that America is back, the greatest comeback story in the history of America since the end of the Civil War. We see for the first time in human history corruption to this extent reversed peacefully without the use or need of violence in the streets whatsoever. Of all of the innovations that have been accomplished by the United States of America, this is the greatest one. People discuss how glorious it was that we won World War I, that we established the assembly line to manufacture vehicles for everyone to afford, that we developed AC and DC electricity under Thomas Edison, that we have rockets that go into space and land again, that we landed on the moon, that we defeated the Russians in the Cold War without firing.